not just the bubble's about to pop. Huge broadcast today.
JonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
The globalists are coming! The globalists are coming!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones at AlexJonesLive.com. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the links and spread the word. We've only just begun to fight.
It is Tuesday, August 11th, 2026. I'm your host, Alex Jones, and we've got one hell of a transmission lined up for you today. Well, the AI bubble, as predicted, by the end of the summer, would start bursting. It is happening. And then I saw a huge Wired magazine article that reminded me of a lot of research we've done over the years, and I did some more research on it last night. And did you know that human brains are already surpassing the very best chips, and that the main companies are already moving a lot of their main investment? We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars into human brains running the systems. I'm going to do a deep dive on that today with Mike Adams and more. AI is dead. Organoids are alive. This is coming up today in great detail. And this ties in to the larger globalist plan. Wait until we get to that. It ties in with worst period for hedge funds since 2008 after AI stock rout. Oh, we've got a lot for you here today. Woo, lordy, lordy. And the closure of the Strait of Hormuz is accelerating it all. Sure wish Trump wouldn't have got snookered into that. Just as our economists predicted, it was going to derail things, and now diesel's exploding, fertilizer, it doesn't look good. We're going to be obviously giving the latest updates on all of that coming up. We have huge, huge news on the front of the poison shots and the tyranny of Big Pharma. In fact, guys, I never got to it yesterday. It'll dovetail perfectly with this. I had several articles and several videos I gave you dealing with studies on the entire Ozempic class, the GLP-1s causing mass blindness. Repull me that data dump because I want to dovetail it with this. Just to talk about who Big Pharma is, they consciously want to kill you. And I'll explain how this works and why this works and how they have a lot of drugs that work great, but they mix in the poison with it. It's all part of eugenics, all part of social Darwinism. And that ties into Trump coming out yesterday in that huge press conference and signing executive order to mandate and put pressure on the states and medical systems and federal agencies to stop pushing. I kept saying 68 vaccines. A lot of times I'm wrong because I'm giving old data in my head. It's 71 shots that they mandate. 71. Europe mandates 12. So that is massive news. And a lot of people, when I did a video about it last night saying, this is something good Trump did, they go, it's just an executive order. Doesn't do anything. It's not enough. He's a piece of crap. Why are you defending him? I'm not. I call balls and strikes. And yeah, they could do more. But Kennedy got 25 new mRNA shots they had ready to approve, shot down this year. Then one slipped through for the mRNA flu shot. We got to fight that. Kennedy says they're trying to reverse it. He's not perfect. But having the president and all these scientists up there and doctors bashing the shots, this, in the court of public opinion, wounds the Big Pharma. So, I mean, it's a big victory. Is it total victory? No. But holy Toledo, we're going to cover good stuff when Trump does it, and we're going to cover the bad. I know it confuses some people. You're supposed to totally hate Trump and just say everything he does is bad, or you're supposed to totally love him. We're not in a damn cult here. Not a cult of hating Trump, not a cult of loving Trump. We're in a cult of truth. That's how I do it. God, I couldn't imagine trying to spin stuff. There's too much going on. I just call it like it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, My Decision. and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine, and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder, another world, another time, his life was green and good, until the crystal cracked.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
The live show headline at alexjoneslive.com, where you can find the video and audio feeds of the show and share them. alexjoneslive.com, alexjoneslive.com in the posted article page of the live feed, or alexjoneslive.com, or alexjoneslive.com. Go to alexjoneslive.com/show. You can find it all right there. I think that live show headline says it all. We'll put it back on screen. Insane live Tuesday show. AI is dead. Organoid cyborgs are already taking over. Tune in now as yours truly breaks down tomorrow's news today. Plus, Fauci had evidence that COVID shots were killing babies. We have his own emails. As Trump moves to restrict injecting children, please share the feed at alexjoneslive.com/show or share that live show article on the front page of the site. And this has been going on for a long time, but now in investment, human brain tissue is now surpassing silicon chips in future investment for AI. Did you hear that? It's been decided that human brains work much better running the AI. But is it really AI when it's a giant cyborg human tissue network? What did Google say when they were founded in 1999 at their prospectus meeting with the CIA, InQtel, Eric Schmidt, Larry Page, and Sergey Brin? This is all public. It was declassified about 15 years ago. Big Wired magazine articles about it. And at the meeting, they said the goal is to build a giant computer neural network that interfaces with millions of people in lifetime with the human tissue in their brains so we can control the public, predict the public, and it even projected forward using human brains physically to power the AI. New data centers will be powered by human brain cells, already are. But now the investment on the future data centers on lab-grown human brain cells, not chips, being the main computing power, is surpassing chip investment. As Wired says, AI is dead, organoids are alive, and will rule. There's two major schools of thoughts with the biomechanical genetic engineering line, the Brave New World view of things, meaning that bioengineering will be more powerful than silicon engineering. Then there's the whole, no, silicon will surpass biological and take over. And there's a third camp that believes it'll be the fusion of the two. This has been for 80 years. And it looks like that is the proper school of this, the way it's going. I remember that NBC News article about 7, 8 years ago that said, there'll be no more humans by 2047, only cyborgs. The wetware computer. That's coming up today in the third and fourth hour with Mike Adams, a really smart engineer, riding shotgun with me. Believe me, you don't want to miss this information. And then when they roll out to the public, it's, oh, scientists confuse brain cells with electrical circuits and make it think. They've been telling you about this for decades, but now they're admitting, oh, it works much better, and that's where the investment's now going. What is the ethics of this? Because they're not just growing brain tissue. Now they're growing full brains. See, we're a lot further in the future than the public knows. We're given stuff that's 10, 20, 30, 40 years old. We're told about 20, 30-year-old technology once it's basically obsolete. But things are a lot further down the line than the public knows. And let's tie that into the current medical tyrants and what they're up to. And people keep asking why this happens. Well, I've learned studying the globalists for a long time that Salk, the inventor of the polio so-called vaccine, admitted in his own papers that, oh, most of the polio is actually caused by the live vaccine, the virus. And he admitted, yeah, we've actually maimed and killed a lot of people, but, oh, there's too many people. And later in a TV interview, he and his assistant got asked about it in two different PBS documentaries. I've played the clips many times. He said, yeah, there are too many people. Ha, ha, ha. So you have to understand the mindset of these people that they're doing all this rollout of the sciences to test them on us as guinea pigs to then get the good developments for themselves. And so whether it's Peter Daszak or whether it's Fauci or whether it's any of these people, they have their own government notes, their own diaries, where they admit they're doing all of this, but they talk about who's giving them the orders to do it so they can use that as a insurance policy. And so 30, 40 years ago on children's cartoons, G.I. Joe, you name it, it's all about the robot cyborgs and stealing the minds of the humans and wanting to enslave humanity. And it's because the globalists understand that we're master builders. We're creators made in the image of God, little g, not God, but in his image. And whatever we envision at a certain point with enough buildup of platforms and foundational understanding, we can do it. And so the point is, we're not in Kansas anymore. In fact, we haven't been in Kansas in a long, long, long time. So whether it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or whether it's G.I. Joe, whether it's the Transformers, you see this in all the culture, then we talk about it. People say, oh, that's Hollywood. No, that's not Hollywood. 50 years ago, they had brain tissue doing computer computations. And what they found with brain tissue is they can just hook it up to war games, whatever they want, and it will start becoming intelligent on its own. And then you can program it, and it works much better than silicon and doesn't need to be super cooled. And it goes on and on. And the headlines in the last few years are, oh, scientists want to build living computers powered by brain cells. Oh, scientists want to clone humans. Been going on for 80 years. And then later they've been, oh, we've been doing it 80 years. Oh, we already have data centers. I remember being told by insiders 30 years ago that they've got human-animal clones, that they've got gestating on farms across the United States and the different areas of the world. Humanoids that are brought to term inside cow uteruses for organ harvesting and things. They just make the humanoid 1% cow so it doesn't have rights. And then remember like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, the headline, MIT Quarterly, Wired Magazine, humanoid chimeras are gestating, that means in utero, at facilities and farms across the United States. I'm giving you exact headlines. And in the articles, it goes, for 30 years we've been doing it. So that was what, 10, 12, 13 years ago, if memory serves, that just those headlines. And then they were telling the article, oh, we've been doing this 30 years. So that's 40 plus years ago. They're telling us that. So now you start to get a little bit of an idea of where we are. They sit there and teach you about flock cameras, can read your driver's license or read your license plate or scan your face. Okay, yeah, that's bad. But do they tell you that's 40-year-old technology? Do they tell you it's been deployed for 40 years? Do they tell you that it's in your smartphone, it's in your car, it's in your dishwasher, it's in your smart meter, it's in everything, and that it's already all being fused in live time and sent to giant AI data centers? And that your phone knows your heartbeat from across the room? No. Or that your Alexa assistant's listening to you for decades? At least 15 years? And that it's all fused in live time? I was in a debate with Joe Kent on my side against the neocons Saturday up in Dallas. I'll learn in a few weeks that Brandon's truck did. It's going to be pretty powerful. And they were arguing for Flock and saying it's no big deal and it's a great thing and it's not going to be abused. And he looked at him and he said, everything is fused in live time. Everything is surveilled. You have no idea the government's and everything. And they didn't argue with him because he was the head of the counterterrorism center that has access to all the agency's files and all the live time feeds. And Ken said, yeah, it's classified. I can't tell you, but it's admitted what I'm saying. He was just shaking his head at them. Everything's already been recording. Everything's already, and you know, I love him to death, but one of the guys, Gerald Morgan, goes, well, I'm a good guy. What do I have to hide? Then he started laughing, knowing what a stupid statement that was. He was joking. It's the interesting. It's the normal people. It's the good people they're interested in. Do you ever think about the corporations and the governments being maniacal, being evil, wanting to hurt you, wanting to corner the market, wanting to make you obsolete? That's their admitted plan. So now it's come out that Fauci, in his own government diary on government computers, said he knew COVID was man-made, but he put in there from the Chinese. No, it was from Obama and him in a national initiative starting in 2014-15 at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and the University of Texas, Galveston, and several other universities at level 4 bioweapon facilities to make COVID-19. So Fauci knows later it's going to be found out. So he says, oh, but it's his own diary, so it must be true. Oh, it's the Chinese, I think, but I'm not allowed to say it. Oh. And then, by the way, we were talking about this in 2015, so it's not like we're saying this now about him. We were on this then, by name. And then, oh, the new stuff in the diary. Oh, he knew it was causing miscarriages, meaning killing babies at a really high rate, but the higher-ups and others didn't want it out, you see. So he wants you to know I'm not the boss, which is true, though I hate his guts and want to see him swinging from the end of a rope after he's convicted. Don't want any harm upon him until that. Don't want to be a martyr. Fauci privately warned of miscarriage risk linked to COVID vaccines while publicly claiming no issues, newly released text show. And it's in his diary, and it's in the emails. I have copies of them. Here, let's just show them to you right now. But the point is that all of the so-called vaccines cause miscarriages. All of the so-called vaccines cause all sorts of autoimmune disorders. And they know it. None of them protect you. It's all a fraud. It doesn't mean that the science of learned immunity, artificially learned immunity, isn't real, but from the beginning, the eugenicists from the rollout of vaccines have been spiking them all. Republican senators release Fauci text on safety of COVID-19 vaccines for pregnant women. Up until a decade ago, any doctor would tell you, oh, if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, don't take a shot. Or if you've ever had an autoimmune response to any vaccine, you can never take another one again because it can kill you, just like a bee sting once you've got an allergic response. Anaphylactic shock. But remember, they said in the COVID guidelines, pregnant women need to take double more. And then you, let me have the insert for the COVID shot. Oh, it's blank. Won't tell you anything about it. This was all a giant test to see what they could get away with. This was all a giant test in their own admissions. Because they want to depopulate the earth by at least 90%. They get everybody else so sick and so sterile that only by merging with big tech, merging with the biomechanical eugenicist transhuman movement, will you be able to have something that looks or acts like a human left that has to be artificial. It's about the medical bio-tyranny system seizing control where no plants produce seeds that produce new plants. Not just the humans they want to control. It's all the animals. It's the plankton. It's the bacteria. They want everything on Earth to be artificial. This is a revolution. In the movie Transcendence with Johnny Depp that came out, 15, 16 years ago? Let's look it up. At the end, he's trying to build AI, but he merges with the AI and turns into smart dust that enters the atmosphere and replicates like the Andromeda strain, and then he becomes every plant, every animal, and every human. He enters us to possess us and guide us as one organism. Same plot for Childhood's End. Top globalist futurist, Sir Arthur C. Clarke. Same story, over and over and over and over and over. And now they're putting the smart dust in the atmosphere. Now it's in the food. Now it's in the water. Now you go in and get nano-scanned, and almost everybody's putting off the chips, the readings, the frequencies, and many people have digital ID numbers now. People are putting off Apple IDs and Google IDs. You've had the matrix put in you, not just by the COVID shot, but the graphene oxide. You're a wirehead. You're already a cyborg. The 5G's for you. This is a revolution. There's ways to mitigate it, ways to detoxify. But the first thing you've got to do is admit this is their plan. Admit this is going on. So, that's the reality. So let's go to some of these clips. Now, again, I want to explain this before I go to these. Yesterday, at the end of the show, Trump is having a press conference in the White House. I get off, I watch it, and he signs an executive order. I go read the executive order saying, in fact, give me the executive order. I printed it off, took it home last night. Print me Trump's executive order from yesterday, please. Thank you. In fact, we'll come back after the break and get to the executive order. I meant to give that to the crew, not my fault. And the executive order directs federal agencies and directs federal funding to recommend that children not take 70-plus shots. That is the recommended amount. It was only 8 or 9 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And the only other country that gives more shots than us is South Korea, and it's the only other country that has a higher level of autism than us. And so I immediately shot a video saying Trump just did something good. He signed an executive order that moves to restrict the number of childhood so-called vaccines. And I got flooded on X with half the comments saying, why are you defending this scumbag? The executive order doesn't go all the way. It's not enough. What are you doing defending him? We thought you hate Trump. This has nothing to do with whether I like Trump or don't like Trump. This, just the public repudiation of it, just the admissions and the statements alone give support to parents and others saying no against the medical tyranny, where all these states are trying to make it mandatory, get rid of religious and medical exemptions like Connecticut and California. So it's a propaganda victory for the truth in the information war, convicting them in the court of public opinion. Is it everything we want? Does it make us go away? No. But it's the pressure we put on. Over 25 mRNA shots were about to be rolled out last year. Kennedy had them all killed. Now, they just snuck through and went over his head and brought in the flu shot that's mRNA, and he's speaking out against it. Kennedy's not God. He can't get it all done, and he's not perfect. Neither am I. The point is that I'm not even bitching because I got bitched at. It's a mindset out there, though. Of some people think everything's okay. Just go to sleep. It'll be handled. You know, the Q-tards. And then you've got other people over there that think everything's doomed. Everything's bad. And that if Trump does something good, we shouldn't report on it because somehow it's supporting Trump. I report the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's a philosophical thing that I didn't even realize people had and didn't understand because people were so black-pilled, so depressed, so pissed off that they get confused when I'm up here bashing Trump for the Iran war, bashing Trump for letting Israel take control of our military, bashing Trump for the record-level insider trading. And then when I go, oh, this is something good, what, I'm not supposed to talk about it? I'm not supposed to say, oh, look, the government's up there with studies admitting these shots are hurting kids. We need to stop this. I'm not supposed to warn people, I'm not supposed to show our credibility, I'm not supposed to show how far we've come in fighting this. But Dr. Andrew Wakefield and so many others that almost lost everything? No, this is our greatest moments here. This is our vindication. This is about saving the children and stopping the UN and the globalists from the next pandemic, lockdown, globalist disease X plan they've got. No one with an IQ above 70 could disagree with me putting out a video saying this is good news. This is important. Now warn people, because a lot of people still think these shots are great and wonder why their kids in the corner drooling. We have a job to warn people about this. So I've spent my time now explaining really common sense things. I know most of you are smart. You're like, Alex, please don't talk to us like we're 8 years old. I care about the people that are under mind control. I care about people that are in the black pill zone and just know how to bitch. And I care about them. So I do spend time reaching out to them because you're already awake. You need to be waking up other people. We're trying to get the people that don't know. That's the whole point of this. So I apologize that it is very simplistic, and you're like, of course we understand that. You're not stupid. You were gifted with a good IQ and brought up good and have common sense. So thank your lucky stars every day that you're not the type of people that think I'm covering up for Trump by celebrating something good that happened. Okay? You're not stupid. So that's why I'm explaining to people that are, unfortunately, a little bit dense. Okay? But I'm going to try to cut back on talking to dumb people because I know at a certain point you just can't dumb things down enough for them. So we come back, powerful clips from this, powerful truth, powerful information that we now have to get out to the dumbbells. Because just because somebody buys in the system and has Stockholm syndrome and is totally trusting, you can say, well, screw them, they're dumb. Particularly leftists that love to take hundreds of shots if they can and have the highest rates of cancer, death, you name it. You're like, good, they're killing themselves. Their children don't deserve it. So we've got to educate them and get laws passed, which is happening in some states, and restrict this because we have a responsibility to protect the unborn and the children. And the whole corporate media is attacking Trump and Big Pharma's attacking him. This was a big move yesterday. And a lot of it is because they know their constituency is pissed off at them and they know they're getting ready to lose the midterms. And there's a lot of true believers in the reality and the real science like Kennedy, who was damaged by a flu shot himself. All right, we'll come right back with these amazing clips on the other side. This victory, a major battle won, not the war, but a victory to celebrate. Share the live feeds of Real Alex Jones now and on rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. You're the Paul Revere's. Let's save some lives. I'm extremely excited about this. You know we always have the strongest turmeric at thealexjonesstore.com, and the capsules are 95% curcuminoid. That is the strongest in the market. So the very same great manufacturer that made this made it as a liquid tincture, the strongest on the market, and even better than powder because there's even better absorption. Ultimate turmeric, and it's got a bunch of other amazing ingredients that are known to supercharge turmeric. I know so many people that Advil doesn't work when they have a sprained ankle or arthritis, but when they take our brand of turmeric, they go, this is works better than Advil. And you know, including family I've had that's like, well, this pill's not as big as my other turmeric. My other turmeric helps, but I got to take a bunch of the pills. I said, just take two of these, and whether it's my dad or my wife or anybody, they're like, wow, this worked better. Why? Because those aren't concentrates. Those are raw turmeric. This Raw turmeric's 4 to 5% curcuminoid. 95. Okay? So we're very excited about this tincture. Just a half dropper a day. So good for your whole body. 95% curcuminoids. The liquid is better absorption. And this is 60 servings per bottle, so 2 month supply. And right now, if you're a subscriber, you just sign up to lock in at 50%, canceling time for free. You lock in at 50% off. It's 25% off for everybody if you just buy it straight off at thealexjonesstore.com. The new Ultimate Liquid Turmeric Tincture. And it's got a bunch of other really cool stuff in it as well. Not just concentrated turmeric root, curcumin lunga, the strongest part, but ginger root concentrated, zingbeer officinal is the, I guess, the Latin for it, and pepperdine concentrated black pepper extract. All of it synergistically works together. 250 milligrams and just a half dropper of the turmeric concentrate, 12 milligrams of the concentrated ginger, and 100 of the pepperdine black pepper extract. Very strong, an amazing product. The newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Liquid tincture, superior absorption. Pepperdine inclusion is the difference maker. Turmeric without pepperdine is largely wasted. Most budget companies do that. Natural enzymes and things in the concentrated pepper get into the cells quicker. Triple ingredient synergy, turmeric, ginger, concentrated black pepper, 60 servings, vegan friendly, GMO free, gluten free, free of major allergies, natural flavors only, no additives or synthetic flavorings, and it funds this operation. And anybody getting the products, the other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the t-shirts, the collectible coins that are about to sell out, the amazing shower filters of the highest rated, taking out the most toxins of any brand, at an incredibly low price, should be a VIP. Every month, in your profile, it charges you $30. You can cancel anytime for free. You instantly, when you're charged, get $40 in your profile to spend. Special deals, special offers, and sales on top of all the other sales. Everyone should be a VIP. And if you're worried about some products that sell out from time to time, just become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on all future orders of that product as long as you stay subscribed. Cancel anytime. So become a VIP, become a subscriber, and lock it in with no commitment from you, but it's locked in for you if you choose to keep it locked in at thealexjonesstore.com. New Liquid Ultimate Turmeric, the strongest on the market. So good for your whole body and inflammation. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Gold standard vaccine recommendation, sir, as previous speakers have indicated, this is going to establish essentially a new vaccine schedule that is fully informed by the research and data that we have from HHS and NIH and other aspects of the government. It also takes a very hard line on some of the more paternalistic issues that we've been talking about here, sir, in terms of infringing on parents' religious liberty or really just parents' ability to make decisions for their children. So as Heidi said, this is a very big deal. We're not waiting for anyone else to take action, as you do so often, sir. We're just going ahead and doing the right thing based on all of the best available research to ensure that America's parents and children are being as best protected by the federal government as they can be.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Oh, Big Pharma and the eugenicist death cult, who want the power to put in our bodies whatever they want, whenever they want. Not just traditional vaccines, but all sorts of gene therapies, cancer viruses.
That's a big one in my book.
Yeah, that's a big one. All right. I have talked to people involved at the White House. I've also, you know, seen the recording of Trump talking to Kennedy that his son leaked, all the rest of it. I've talked to, you know, the folks involved with Kennedy. I know the inside baseball. Trump really does think there's, quote, too many shots. He thinks it's directly connected to it. It definitely is, and a bunch of studies that have been suppressed. But it's a cocktail of other things that is also causing autism. We know what it is. There's thousands of studies. I've had hundreds of scientists on. Why is 90-plus percent of autism boys? Well, any medical doctor will tell you, and it's the physiology, any pathologist will tell you, in fact, it's first-year medical school, that in all mammals, females are more hardy when it comes to gunshot wounds, poisons, you name it. You don't think of a female as physically as strong, being able to lift as much weights or run as fast. But the female mammal is designed to take greater insults. And here's an example of the difference in a female mammal versus a male mammal. In all mammals, the blood-brain barrier on a female mammal, whether it is a bison, whether it is an elephant, whether it is a blue whale, whether it is a rat, whether it is a dog, whether it is a cat, whether it is a chimpanzee, whether it is a Homo sapiens sapien, that's us, is twice as strong, and in some cases more, but at least twice as strong as a male. So whether it's pesticide or whether it's microplastics or whether it's aluminum or whether it's swelling on the brain, all of these insults affect males worse than they do females. That's what the medical system calls these attacks is, quote, insults. And so most of the autistic people are men or males. And they've also found this in toxic dumps that have happened with different mammal populations that they'll see the male deer die off first. They'll see the male mammals of other types die off first. But it's also similar in other species that females are tougher when it comes to insults. Males are geared up higher, more aggressive, out to get the job done. Just in most bird species, the male brings the food back to the female when she's sitting on the eggs or taking care of the babies. And then he vomits the half-digested food into her mouth and into their mouths. That's how the universe works. The males are the drones. The males are the robots, even in ant hives and beehives, that are sent out to do the work and do the fighting and do the killing. So when they come and attack male models, that's us. I don't mean a model like in a movie, I mean, or in a magazine. I mean, the human female males, there's a female model and a male model. When they attack the male, they're attacking the entire species. That's why when they talk about male versus female, it's all a lie. We are the species. Male and female is the species. So Kennedy was tasked by Trump, and it has come out, and I can confirm that Trump even threatened to fire him because he gave him 1 year to release the findings. And Kennedy said, we found so much, and we found out a bunch of other things in admitted documents that the CDC and Centers for Disease Control, the National Institutes of Health, knew and confirmed. But they also covered up any investigation into autism starting in 2000, which was already in ABC News back at the time. In 2002, it came out that the head of the CDC and others met with all the board members and said, oh, my God, we had findings that most of the autism is caused by these shots. We better cover this up. And that was covered the news back at the time. So they've destroyed most of the evidence. They've deleted the emails. He's talked about that. So he's bringing forward the smoking gun evidence, and Trump wants it now. But the problem is that their own internal studies and things they've destroyed. I mean, look at Pfizer. Look at Pfizer. Whenever they got ordered by a federal judge to release all of their secret intel on the development of their shot, and they wouldn't release it, then they asked the judge to wait 75 years to do it. And then a little bit of the data came out, and it was absolutely horrible. They were killing people, knew they were killing it, and they were pulling it out of the studies. So it also turns out the internal studies that the CDC and others did were whitewashes. But then they were too lazy to hide the studies where they knew that Tylenol was also causing massive brain damage. By the way, you won't even heal when you take Tylenol as fast. Tylenol is super toxic to your liver, super toxic to your brain. It would not even be approved today. So that's how they dance around. Oh, you can't say for sure autism is caused by shots because it's a cocktail. But when you give a little baby boy, by the time they're two, 71 different concoctions, that's the mandated amount. If you follow the intimidation of the pediatric doctor and all the rest of them, and they try to tell you it's the law and you're going to kill your kid if you don't. They don't tell you in Europe they give them 8 shots. They don't tell you in Japan they give them 11 shots. They don't tell you all the countries that give them 50, 60, 70 shots. It's over 80 in South Korea. South Korea is the only country with worse numbers than us. It's incredible. Yeah, and the number is actually 71 totally mandated, but there's a new one they tried to mandate. So, yeah, technically 72. And when they mandate it, it kicks in vaccine protection, liability protection, where they can't sue these companies. That's another big one. So this is a big moment to have this in the White House being discussed, it coming out. And now Kennedy has got this executive order that says the companies have to prove in vaccine studies that it actually works and is safe. And you always hear safe and effective. They've never done those. They always just say the studies have been done or they're safe and effective. They do the studies and they spin those and cherry pick those and take out the death and destruction on those, just like Pfizer and Moderna got caught doing. Just like the new flu shot that got approved for mRNA. They say in the authorization for it, the CDC, we're doing this to see what it does on the public. U.S. Appeals Court revives hundreds of private lawsuits linking Tylenol to autism. A Tylenol literally dissolves your blood-brain barrier. And how many people give it to babies when they have fevers? Because, oh, don't give them aspirin because there's that rare syndrome that can kill them. So give them Tylenol. And you're just dosing your child with something that literally destroys their liver and brain and blood-brain barrier. So Kennedy went and looked at the research. He said, yeah, it's the shots and Tylenol. Together, a deadly combo. Then why is it the boys? Blood-brain barrier is weaker. Look all everything up I'm saying. This is all known, established, real science. So let's go to these clips back to back. Here's a little Fox News boil down of it. Then here's Trump on it. Then there's RFK talking about it. Then Stephen Miller knocks it out of the park. And then RFK Jr. on the Tylenol. And then just to remind you of the tyranny, Biden saying this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated when the shots give you COVID, don't protect you, and it was a total lie. Here are those clips back to back.
Today, the president signed an executive order reducing the number of recommended childhood vaccines. Health and Human Services Secretary RFK Jr. drove the move.
We are comparing health outcomes in vaccinated versus unvaccinated children. Vaccines administered during pregnancy and outcomes ranging from allergies to autoimmune disease to autism and other neurodevelopmental disorders.
Now, Kennedy says there's no conclusion whether vaccines contribute to health problems. Senate Health Committee Chairman Bill Cassidy is a doctor. He called the order, quote, wrong. He believes this makes people more hesitant to get vaccines. Brett?
More on this.
Decades ago, children received only a small fraction of the vaccines required today. In those times, people were much healthier. And, of course, the high rates of autism now observed did not exist. So there's a reason for such epidemic rates of autism, and we're going to bring it back to much closer to where it was.
Just reinforcing something the president said, which is the source of his concern about this issue. And I'll just give an example. In 1970, the biggest epidemiological study at that time in history was performed. And the university scientists from across this country looked at all the 8-year-olds in Wisconsin, about 900,000 children. And they were looking for autism, and they knew what autism looked like. And they came back with an incident rate of 0.8 per 10,000. So less than 1 in 10,000. The rate, according to CDC, today in this country is one in every 31 children. In California, it's one in every 19 children, one in every 12.5 boys. Well, there has been a dramatic increase. One of the things that the industry likes to say, one of the talking points, which the press loves to parrot, is, oh, we're just noticing it more. But this is an absurdity, and this is an assertion that has been debunked again and again and again by peer-reviewed literature. But it's also debunked by common sense, because we were just noticing it more. We would notice it in older groups, but we're not. We're only noticing it in kids who were born around 1989 or after. The older generations, you're not seeing those increases. So something happened in the mid-90s that changed our children. And it has to be an environmental exposure. Because genes don't cause epidemics. They can provide a vulnerability, but you need an environmental toxin. And what the president has charged us with is finding which one of those exposures or which collection of exposures are causing this epidemic. For decades, I fought for a simple principle. When it comes to the health of our children, government has an obligation to follow the evidence wherever it leads. Tell the American people the truth and give parents the information they need to make informed decisions for their families.
Because of your courage and leadership, Mr. President, millions of parents all over America today are breathing an enormous sigh of relief. I say this as the parent of young children myself. Millions and millions of parents feel they've been pressured when their children are just weeks out of the hospital to take 5 shots, 6 shots, 7 shots all at once. They're told it'll be normal. Your kid will have a fever of 103 for 3 or 4 days. Your kid will stop eating for a week. Your kid's going to change all their sleeping. Don't worry. It's totally fine. It's totally normal. Nobody has studied it. Nobody's looked at it. Nobody's thought about it. The pressure from the pharmaceutical industry and from aspects of the medical industry to pump your kids full of shots days after birth with no understanding of the long-term consequences has been a medical travesty. This is an issue, Mr. President, that you have been leading on for years. And, of course, the man to your left has been leading on this issue for years as well, too.
I mean, this is historic. You heard the left. You heard Big Pharma. This will make people not take it. And they're already at record levels not taking all these poisonous shots, not just here but around the world. So in the court of public opinion, this is devastating. I don't just believe the articles about Trump, upset about it, believing that we're given too much of the shots. He can't admit to himself that, no, it's premeditated murder. He's always loved the medical system. He totally believes it. I know people that know him well. He's naive. But I'm not giving him a pass. It doesn't matter. We are going to continue to expose this. We are going to continue to bring the truth out, and this is a big victory because it orders all the federal agencies to have to put out real studies and do real studies or take them off the recommended list if it's already happening. And then the liability protection goes away. It's massive. But there was some big articles on this earlier in the year. Trump turns up the heat on RFK Jr. to cut back childhood vaccines, and he said he brought him in there to get the report out within 1 year of them being in, but Kennedy said they found so much, they were still collating it all, and now they are beginning to release those reports. But the big one they found inside the government, admitting it and covering it up, was Tylenol. People say, oh, that's a cover-up for the shots. No, Tylenol is ultra-toxic and attacks your blood-brain barrier and all of your organs. It's unbelievably bad, and of course it adds to this. You give babies, a bunch of people give babies this stuff all the time. I see parents all the time at the mall, you know, giving their one-year-old a dropper of it, and I want to say something to them. Because, you know, even when I had kids, my dad was like, don't give them Tylenol. Don't give them Tylenol. He's a physician, and I've talked to so many physicians. They've known the whole time, folks. It's bad. It's a cocktail of different chemicals and garbage in the environment. Whether it's glyphosate, whether it is the bisphenol A, whether it is the atrazine, it is devastating our boys because the girls are tougher. It still hurts a bunch of them. But we know why this is happening. And there's a whole breakdown in this New York Times article that you should go read to understand what's been happening. In January, Kennedy proposed cutting the recommended childhood shots, the vaccinations against 11 diseases down to 17 from under the previous guidelines. It's up in the 70s. The government is appealing the decision about the appointment of the panel's numbers, saying that his panel was not legally appointed. So Kennedy's made the right moves. He's got courts blocking him. So this was a big move to get the truth out, and it's already making stocks in Big Pharma go down. It's already, lawsuits have already been filed. Courts are ruling in favor of the lawsuits to go forward. This is good news. Anybody telling you it's not is a liar. And Fauci's being exposed, and the fact that he knew the COVID shots were causing mass miscarriages. We're on the march. The empire's on the run. It's not perfect, but if we just lay here and say we're all doomed and anybody criticizing it, you're not going to win. Just shut up. Those people are losers trying to demoralize you, and a lot of them are on the payroll of Big Pharma to do that. So there is the good news on that front. Fauci privately warned of misfit vaccine while publicly claiming no issues. A newly released text show. I'm not going to play a compilation of him on different newscasts lying 5 and 4 years ago, 4 and 5 years ago. But when we post this live clip from X for my show, put a note for Wilson or whoever's editing the piece, or Brandon, to take that on my list, that compilation of him on corporate news lying, and add that to this, because I want people to see that and have that on record. But here are some of the emails, the text messages, where he's admitting it all, but that he's going to cover it up in the media. This is a big deal, and he needs to be in prison, bare minimum. Absolutely crazy. And again, we have the videos of him going on the corporate news. But I want to play one more clip. This is Biden. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. We still have 70 million people who refuse to get vaccinated. This is totally unacceptable. Today we learned they successfully murdered countless unborn babies, and now you know why they pushed so hard. Here it is.
We've made incredible progress in vaccinating Americans, with over 182 million people being fully vaccinated as of today. But this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And it's caused by the fact that despite Americans having an unprecedented and successful vaccination program, despite the fact that for almost 5 months, free vaccines have been available in 80,000 locations, we still have over 70 million Americans who have failed to get a single shot. And to make matters worse, there are elected officials actively working to undermine with false information the fight against COVID-19. This is totally unacceptable.
Yeah, I sure wish Tucker in his interview, which I watched last night with Hunter, would have brought that up, or the Office of Censorship Biden set up. I'm not mad at Tucker about it. It was a lost opportunity, and I want to invite Hunter on the show so I can ask him the hard questions. Hunter, you want to think you can answer the questions? You say the laptop's not real when it's on record real? I'd love to interview you, Hunter, but something tells me you won't be coming on my show anytime soon. Here's a little bit of Kennedy, just to remind people, talking about Tylenol. Here it is.
Important findings from our autism work that are vital for parents to know as they make these decisions. First, HHS will act on acetaminophen. The FDA is responding to clinical and laboratory studies that suggest a potential association between acetaminophen use during pregnancy and adverse neurodevelopmental outcomes, including later diagnosis for ADHD and autism. Scientists have proposed biological mechanisms linking prenatal acetaminophen exposure to altered brain development. We have also evaluated the contrary studies that show no association. Today, the FDA will issue a physician's notice about the risk of acetaminophen during pregnancy and begin the process to initiate a safety label change. HHS will launch a nationwide public service campaign to inform families and protect public health. FDA also recognized that acetaminophen is often the only tool for fevers and pain in pregnancy, as other alternatives have well-documented adverse effects.
Right. And let's stop right there. And again, the baby gets its nutrients from the mother's placenta, and the male fetus, again, is way more susceptible to the toxins getting through, and then literally the brain doesn't grow, along with other cells get their growth stunted by Tylenol. That's a known fact. So there you go. Tell everybody you know, don't take Tylenol when you're pregnant. We're going to go to break. Please remember, this game-changing, life-saving information only gets out when you take the clips from the live show and share them. We cut them up every day, put them on Rumble, put them on X, put them at alexjoneslive.com. You're the Paul Revere's. I am conscripting you into this mission, if you choose to accept it, to warn people, continue the fight. It's so important. And fund our operation so we can continue on the air and expand. We need to do fundraising. We've got the new studio basically ready. We've got so much ready to go, so many exciting announcements, but we need funds at thealexjonesstore.com. We make it so easy. Now, the folks over at Bigley, our big sponsor, have done a great job getting so many really popular Faraday cage backpacks, you name it. But the problem is they never get enough of them. They sell out quickly. People have a big desire for these. Well, they got another limited run of this amazing Liberty Concealed Carry Pack of the highest quality 500D nylon, water-resistant coating, reinforced construction, heavy-duty zippers, the mole webbing, multiple compartments, five interchangeable patches included, the Betsy Ross flag, Don't Tread on Me, Jerusalem Cross, and more. Just these patches alone that come inside of the pack, on average, would be $5 to $10 at the store, but you get a whole bunch of the patches along with it, and it's only $39. You'll see these for $60, $80, even $100 or more. And with the patches, it is an insane deal, ladies and gentlemen. So take advantage of this right now. They got a limited supply at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation. So get your new Liberty Concealed Carry Pack with the six patches that come with it right now. That's it. TheAlexJonesStore.com. All orders of $100 or more get an amazing murdered out ice cooler with a bunch of compartments and murdered out Patriot engravings on it. Also, there's a bunch of other big sales at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And Friday will be the last day. This only happens once a month for 1 week, a crossover, where every order at the site, every dollar you spend gives you 100x entry in the sweepstakes, not just win one of the month's super vehicles, but you could win both potentially and $20,000 cash. So it doubles your chances of winning. No one's won two vehicles at the same time yet, but you potentially could, ladies and gentlemen. This is the final week. Every order gets put in for this 100X, not just the normal 5X, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get your ultramethylene blue, your Shilajit, your bovine colostrum, that, by the way, is so good for your blood-brain barrier, and more at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the true Paul Revere's you are while getting great products at the same time. Hour number two, straight ahead. Massive news. Stay with us.
Dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
Feast your eyes on the magical methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Alex Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. The top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That's not a promotion. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-6000.
3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
So we know there's been a DOJ bipartisan cover-up for now almost 20 years of what was happening with Epstein, the Mossad MI6 CIA operative, and the huge honeypot operation he was running that he took over from Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert Maxwell. He also worked for former attorney general's dad at the girls' school, Barr.
Bill Barr's father, Donald Barr, was the mentor to Jeffrey Epstein. He was literally, was a student of Bill Barr's dad.
The emails we have, the millions of them, are so damning. The cannibalism, the sex slavery, the genetic engineering.
There's girls that were there that testified that he had rooms as big as this room right now that were filled with servers and computers and monitors that were recording all that footage that he had, and not only on the island, but in New York, the Zora Ranch, everywhere.
On a plane,
cameras.
The plane was rigged and everywhere.
Where's all that footage?
I can't tell you.
Really?
Yeah. It has to be the right time, the right day.
Let me ask you this. I'm sorry to put a legendary Mossad assassin on the hot seat. But if I was to guess, do you think I would guess right?
Probably. That's why we shouldn't talk about
okay.
it right now.
All right.
And if you look at satellite photos of it and drone photos, you can see the snorkels that come up around the house and 100 yards out from it or so. Those, you don't have those big concrete air vents for structures that don't have things under them.
I will tell you the search took 11 days to actually, drone out the whole entire property. So that tells you what a vast property this was and how large it was.
So we were told the feds went in with cadaver searching dogs and went in with ground penetrating radar. And now we learn none of that was true. The feds did a deal in 2019 when Trump was first in his first administration to let them run the investigation, but that they would then give the state their findings. They haven't done that.
In the Epstein files, one document describes an April 2020 account given to the FBI in Albuquerque from someone whose name is redacted and makes the unsubstantiated claim that one of Epstein's Zorro Ranch victims was raped and became pregnant before the baby was then sacrificed and buried at the Christ United Methodist Church near Albuquerque. We reached out to the FBI Public Affairs Office in Albuquerque and asked if the FBI investigated or followed up on the reported claim, and if so, what were the findings? In an email, the office responded, "We have no comment at this time."
We know from a tip back in 2019 that was never investigated that there was an allegation that two women were buried on the public leased land there. And so we are still waiting for that part of the investigation to be open.
Were human remains found? Were they not found?
I can't tell you if they were or weren't found, but I guess what I would say is, let's say cadaver dogs did not find anything. It doesn't change the fact that there maybe still could be something there.
These images of Zorro Ranch taken in the early 2000s were given to EWTN News by a former worker at the ranch. Former workers told us they would agree to speak about their time at Zorro Ranch if the New Mexico Truth Commission called on them to testify.
They need to be reached out to, preferably by law enforcement, but they will play, I think, a big role in what may or may not have happened at the ranch.
As we continue to formally commence this subcommittee, subpoenas will very likely be issued for those that do not want to voluntarily come forward and speak to us as a subcommittee.
Fundamentally, we need Todd Blanche and the United States Department of Justice to stop stonewalling this agency. It's been 173 days since we first asked for unredacted access to the complete Epstein files, and we still don't have that access, despite repeated assurances from Mr. Blanche, Jay Clayton, and others that they would cooperate with this investigation and help us move things forward so we could try and hold people accountable here in New Mexico.
Specifically, the main thing that this new bill does that we've introduced is forces the U.S. Attorney General to cooperate with state attorneys general that want to prosecute Epstein co-conspirators under state law. And it turns out in New Mexico, that's where the Zorro Ranch was. You hear a lot about Epstein Island. You hear almost nothing about Zorro Ranch, but it was expansive. It was massive. People were going there all the time. Crimes were committed there. And some of those aren't barred by statute of limitations. And so the Attorney General in New Mexico would like to prosecute those crimes. And so we're making it easier with this bill. That's one of the things it does.
The DOJ tells us that there's no human trafficking. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Does anybody really know the secret or the combination for this life and where to keep it? It's kind of sad when you don't know the meaning, but everything happens for a reason. I don't even know what I should say, because I'm an idiot, a loser, microphone abuser. I analyze every second I exist, beating up my mind every second with my fists. And everybody want to run.
The fuse is burning down to total worldwide war. We're already in a world war. And since he joined us last Tuesday, there have been a lot of big developments to get major updates from Victor Boot, a major elected official in Russia, businessman, former political prisoner, military expert, Victor Boot, at Real Victor Boot on X. Follow him there. Joins us. And today when he came on, I want to open the phones up for your specific questions or statements that you'd like to make to Mr. Boot so he can respond to that. In a moment, we will put the number up on screen. These are specific calls on the geopolitical developments, on the Iran war, the Ukraine war that's all linked up, on exit ramps, questions you have about Russia, questions you have about geopolitical military issues around the world. This guy's operated all over the world. He's a leading expert, knows what he's talking about. The number for your questions or comments for Victor Boot, you can agree with him, disagree with him. He's a big boy, so am I. 512-266-0642. Uncensored, your chance to talk to Victor Boot, truly a rare occurrence. He doesn't do a lot of interviews. 512-266-0642. You can agree with him, disagree with him. Again, we just want to get your takes, 512-266-0642. All right, Victor, obviously a lot of big developments. I noticed in the last 2 weeks, you predicted this, because they were already getting very low, that when Kiev and Kharkiv and other major cities of Ukraine got hit in Russian counterstrikes, that there was, in some cases, no anti-missile response. And we know that Zelensky's been saying he's basically out of anti-missile missiles, defense missiles. And now we know that at the same time, the Pentagon came out 2 weeks ago and said, we are out of missiles except for protection of CONUS. That is the lower 48 for people that don't know, the continental United States. And they had to leak that because Trump was ordering them to send the missiles for the defense of Israel and the other Gulf allies that have U.S. military bases in them. And so we know Trump blew up at Hegseth, who told Trump there were plenty of missiles. We now have a confirmed Pentagon report that I sent you guys yesterday. It was on the list. Tucker Carlson had an expert on. I checked the numbers. These are public Pentagon numbers. We have over 50% of the missiles generally gone, some 70%, with 4 to 5 years to replace the entire classes of these missiles. So this is a major crisis. The United States cannot defend itself against China or Russia. If we keep pushing them, this is a huge deal in all of this, and really brings this to a head with Victor Boot months ago warning that Russia is getting ready to hit NATO targets if NATO continues to supply weapons to bomb inside Russia. Now NATO came out, as well as the Pentagon last week, and said indeed they believe Russia could strike as early as 2 weeks. That is a massive development. So big updates, big developments about where we are in the threat escalation ladder with Victor Boot. What does it mean Ukraine's out of defense missiles, it appears? What does it mean that Iran has closed the strait again and has had a strategic victory, the Pentagon even admits? Will the Pentagon, will the globalists double down, or will they go to detente and have an off-ramp, and will Iran or Russia even accept that? I know Russia has said they would. Iran is saying they won't. Victor Boot, thank you so much. That's a long intro, but a lot's happened. I know other big things have happened. Please give us your geopolitical analysis on how things have shifted, because you've been coming on for a few years, but to me it looks like in the last week we've seen the biggest shifts yet since the escalation of the Russian proxy war with NATO 4.5 years ago. Victor Boot.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What we're talking about, that the Kyiv exhausted all PAC-3 and even older version of PAC-2 interceptor missiles for the Patriot system, which used to cover the capital Kyiv, especially the most sensitive part of it, where is the government office, where they also bring in and concentrated their facilities where they're producing these drones. They do electronics, when they do also planning and also storage. So since Russia start hitting and Ukraine out of the interceptors since 22nd of the July, Russia successfully, basically every day and night, pounding and destroying the production centers, storage centers in Kyiv. Every night in Kyiv is the same scenario. There is a direct hit. The Russian army trying to avoid civilian casualties. Usually they also warning not to make sure that there is no people at the facilities when they're destroying them. At the same time, same true for the Odessa, because when the Ukrainians started the war, these attacks on the ships going into Russian ports and basically trying to sabotage our logistic, what Russia did, we massively attack the Ukrainians' Black Sea ports, all of them. Moreover, they're not operational now, and they attack since the last, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, over 70 vessels which have been heading to Ukraine, many of them bringing military cargo. So basically, maritime supply route to Ukraine is blocked. The Russian army also destroyed the bridge, which is used to facilitate transfer through the Romania, also on Odessa region, that's also gone out of function. So, hello, I lost connection.
Victor, we're right here. We can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, so just on my screen, the picture is frozen. So what's happening further? This eventually now degraded very seriously Ukraine, you know, the logistics on their war effort. Moreover, from last year, Russia targeted all their refineries before even they tried to attack ours. There is no refineries functioning in Ukraine, and now we're attacking the gas stations. Yes, they are trying also to send deep inside the Russian territory their drones, sneaking on the very low altitude, on the very low speed, which is makes extremely difficult to intercept them, and trying to hit the our facilities, like the distribution center of the Russian company Wildberries, which is equivalent of the Amazon in the U.S., and also they're trying still to hit some refineries. But for us, this is a manageable, damage, which is quickly repaired, but for Ukraine, it's a fatal. Many experts in Ukraine already admitting that they are, first of all, the infrastructure like electricity grid, water treating plants, preparation plants, the railroads, and the seaports infrastructure out of the commission. That implicates that basically right now Ukraine lost its capacity to generate the money from export. And remember, Ukraine was a pretty big on the world level supply of the grain, corn. They still use till the just months ago, export the metal ores, you know, iron ore from the Odessa ports, also certain, you know, kind of the iron products, like the black iron, whatever they still had there, you know, steel, metal, iron steel functioning. So since that is over, there is no any more income, and now Ukraine 100% depends on what the Western sponsors and taxpayers, including Americans' taxpayer, gonna send to Ukraine. Not only to pay for the armaments, but now they can't function like a country. They are completely, you know, in the collapse level. Think of this. If, for instance, next month, United States will not send them several billion dollars, or European Union will not send them this money. There is no money to pay the military. There is no money to pay the civilian servants. There is no money just to keep light in the house. So now we're coming very close to this exhaustion level where the eventually Russian government, you know, train of thought going, okay, look, you exhausted all options. Do you really want to go to next level of escalation? Well, we can play this, but whether you can afford to play this. And we know that all Western sponsors of Ukrainian regime, despite promising too much, themselves now facing exactly same shortage of the different funds. And they are thinking twice whether they are able to give even last remaining interceptors to the Ukraine, knowingly that now they are on the hit list of Russia. So this is a unique situation.
And can I raise this? Can I raise this? I know a few months ago Russia officially said what you'd said months before, saying, Poland, you're the first target where most of the weapons are being brought in mass. We're getting ready to hit you and do a ground incursion. Poland then began to make talk about peace and admitting that the Ukrainians are run by Nazis and coming out with Ukrainian corruption against the Poles to get the public against it, who is overwhelmingly against it. Does it look like to you, now that there are basically no interceptor shipments to Ukraine, is that because we've run out and have to have it for the U.S. and Israel? Or is it really just because, as you always said, Trump could simply turn off the weapons and the intelligence, and then Zelensky would have to make a deal? We know that a lot of top officials have now even refused to meet with Zelensky, and we're also seeing riots and people beating up the conscription police. We're seeing Russians making record-level gains. Unlike our media that keeps saying Russia's collapsed, Russia's defeated, when all the evidence is the opposite, you've never said that, no, they're collapsing in real time, they're out of weapons. You were just saying they're slowly being defeated. But now you're saying the same thing I see just studying it. I mean, there were massive attacks starting last week through this weekend, and even mainstream news repeated not one missile was fired to even stop any of the Russian missiles. So in the last month, it was, you know, 29 get shot down of 196. And now it's zero getting shot down. I mean, that is literal collapse level. I don't know how long Ukraine can hold out. And it looks to me like you're going to end up having the citizens just uprise at some point. Do you think that's what Russia's waiting for, or what's happening?
Yeah, correct. Because right now, this whole efforts and the strategic patience of the Russian military and political leadership will, you know, materialize into certain gains, not only in terrain, but also force at least those who remain, who able to think in European Union, you know, to reconsider whether they really want to bring their countries into war. And second question, whether they have enough at least interceptors to protect themselves. You're absolutely right. Look, this is let's make a math. We know that the since February 28th, the United States exhausted over two-thirds of all their available reserve of interceptors, protecting Israel, protecting their air bases. We know that the Raytheon only capable to produce about 600 pieces of interceptors for Patriot system a year, plus about 200 of them Japan used to manufacture. So we have a total 800 a year. Now, Zelensky need every month at least 300 because, you know, Russia, according to statistics, firing over 8,000 precision-guided bombs from the jet bombers on the long distance, sometimes up to the, you know, 150 kilometers. And on top of it, it's all kind of the ballistic missiles. Some of them, like Iskander, are not a hypersonic, and they, in theory and practice, can be intercepted by the Patriot missiles. And there is a smaller portion of them is a hypersonic systems, which completely impossible to intercept by the Patriot missiles. Only the Saab system been able to intercept those. And they also in very short supply on arsenal of the Pentagon.
So the bottom line is Ukraine is in full collapse, and we're at the moment of truth. Will NATO make good on sending in NATO armies? Their conscription hasn't worked. They're out of money. They're running low on munitions. And so the only thing left is a nuclear false flag or other provocation to somehow try to suck the United States in. I think that's the moment of truth and maximum danger we're now entering. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, it's accurate statement, but let's not underestimate Ukrainian regime. They've got enough reserves of their long-range drones. They've got enough supply on hands. Everything they need on the drone war, when they still harassing a civilian population in all regions which is close to Ukraine, where problem is also that.
So even though they're strategically defeated, they may continue a terror war just to pretend like they're in the war.
Correct. Correct, because this is what they've been preparing for. And the regime don't care if their own population will face the winter without no heat, no electricity, with a shortage of the fuel supply, with a shortage of the products, you know, even the food will disappear pretty soon.
But that's why I'm saying there's going to be an uprising then.
Well, the apparatus, the police state, which is Zelensky creates, suppress all, any revolt or any opposition. So those sporadic, you know, resistance with the citizens trying just to make sure that their relatives have not been snatched from the street are usually, then the punishment team are sent to this region and they beat up those who try to defend their people. To be stolen, and then they have publicly, you know, go on TV and say, oh, we are sorry, we support our armed forces, we are loyal to the president. So basically, Ukraine is the biggest, you know, jail or concentration camp in the world. Nobody can leave Ukraine, you know, there is no way to escape that they will catch you and send you to the front line, where your expectancy to survive is only...
So looking at all the angles, what comes next?
Well, come next, whether finally somebody gonna say, hey, what's about Ukrainians? There's still about 20 million people, or maybe, you know, from 18 to 21, depending on different estimation. But this is a still civilian population. And somebody need to consider how they're gonna survive, what's gonna happen for the future. Because right now, what Zelensky doing, he destroying every possibility for the future of the Ukraine. I think if it's last more several months, there is would be no more even theoretical chance that Ukraine will exist like independent states. Because finally what will happen, if you have a completely failed state, there is all destroyed infrastructure, and Russia will consider and take whatever territory we need to take to protect ourselves and create a buffer zone with the NATO countries, then accordingly our President Putin, who hinted to Poland, who hinted to Hungary and to the Romania, look, there is an areas of Ukraine which you are bordering, where you have your ethnical minorities. Basically, you, if you want to protect your people, move in and defend them. What we did during, the beginning of this conflict in 2022, where we have to protect Russian population inside Ukraine. And it's exactly what's happening with the other, ethnical minorities in Ukraine, like Hungarian and Romanian.
So you're saying look for more Russian incursions to protect those areas? Or, as you said 6 months ago, Russia may just go ahead and take the capital. Is that still on the table?
Sure, because look, if we don't look for the results, if we will just froze the conflict where we are, it's a still, you know, enough ample space for NATO to regroup, to rearm, and use again this territory to launch attack against Russia. As strategically, we can't allow that to happen. So we definitely need to take all territory up to the Dnieper River, to secure that there is no problem for the our national interest and security. Then we will decide. We have four regions, which is already voted and joined Russia. Plus, we have more territory, which is historically was built, created, established by the Russia. So we have all historical claim, way more solid than Israel has for the Samaria, you know, in the neighborhood for this territory. The all cities in Ukraine have been either established by the Russian Tsars during their rule and built up during Soviet Union. So there is no such, you know, any even historical evidence that Ukraine can claim, you know, that this is their territory.
Sure, absolutely. So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this then. Because we know there was a tug of war with Russia and NATO with different regimes, different elections. Do we know if Russia has made any overtures to the Ukrainian regime that, look, NATO's going to abandon you, you're going to fail, make a deal with us, remove Zelensky, bring in a provisional government, bring in Russian representatives, not to run Ukraine, but to be their representative, and then have an open election? Wouldn't that be the way to do it? And then this could all be stopped?
Well, this was offered for last, you know, what, 30 years? But Ukrainian elite deciding, hey, we will play the role. We don't want to be either with the Russians or either with the Western. Let's play the game. Let's ask and, you know, basically manipulate the boss, telling to the Russians, oh, you're giving us too little. We're going to go to the West or to NATO, and then go to the West to NATO to say, hey, you know, you're giving us too little. Russia offering us way more. That's where the problem started. And instead to be the bridge, or the territory who can connect the Russia and the Europe into one big, huge, you know, prosperous markets and territory, they decided, no, we play this interest. And when Zelensky come, he, first of all, before he become a president, he hardly speak Ukrainian. And then apparently he decided, well, he would be a most anti-Russian, you know, president or regime, who gonna suppress Russian language, who gonna forbid, even publicly, if you right now go and speak Russian inside the Kiev restaurant, and by the way, 90% of population of the Kiev speaking at home Russian. You know, think of this, if somebody gonna do this to any American city, what they gonna say about this? And then, you know, the economy is destroyed. Ukraine was a prosperous country prior to their, you know, bloody coup. They've been benefiting a lot by having a free trade agreement with Russia. Russia was their main export for their product of agriculture. For we've been, you know, in the very deep cooperation, even on defense industry.
Sure.
Let me tell you that major components of Russian, even ballistic missiles of previous generation, been manufactured in Ukraine.
Sure. What's for people that don't know, Ukraine was the boom town of Russia. They were the best taken care of, did the best, got all sorts of special, you know, things because they were on the border with Europe. Well, wasn't even its own country till Lenin made them that. I want to shift gears now out of Ukraine and the Russia war with NATO and how this all ties together with the big developments, with the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, with Ukraine attacking these Iranian ships, and what's happening with President Trump, him having to evacuate off Air Force One that we reported weeks ago, now confirmed, claiming Iran was trying to kill him. I'm really worried about false flags taking out Trump to be blamed on Iran as Israel tries to make us accelerate into this war and take phone calls from Tony, Jefferson, Kerry, Sean, Matt, Billy, and others. We're going to come back to your phone calls on the other side with Victor Boot, True Russian Insider. Real Victor Boot on X. Be sure and follow him there. He just launched a few months ago. It's already got 60-plus thousand followers. Real Victor Boot on X. Follow us at Real Alex Jones on X and rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live and our news site, alexjoneslive.com. We'll be right back. New break flavor, bovine colostrum gummies. Yeah, baby. Yeah, these are the best. Support your gut with these great gummies. Get yours now. The all-new Groovy Great Bovine Colostrum Gummies have arrived. They're sweet, they're groovy, and they're ready to roll. Don't miss out. Get yours today. Oh, yeah, baby. The globalists are poisoning your family. Fight back with superfood gummies, vitamins, powerhouse probiotics, plus an organic fruit and veggie blast. For the resistance, get them now. Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that. But the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat. You're your own enemy. He does that to guests. He's like Theo Vaughn, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but didn't really really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, you'll get Masterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that, mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key C minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. Talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals, it is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff. It doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
All right, I want to go to your phone calls for Victor Boot, and I want to speak some about the Iran situation, the big developments there, because we're just sleepwalking into this disaster, but there are a lot of big developments, more than we've seen in the past. Things are moving quickly, but I think it's fair to say, Victor, you know a lot more about it than I do, and I'm pretty well informed, so I want to just put bookends on this. Ukraine has a major strategic defeat. That's been clear for several years. Now it's intensified. They're out of interceptors. Russia is now just completely destroying their entire military infrastructure, moving on to the trains being destroyed, the energy destroyed. And, of course, Ukraine is intensifying attacks inside of Russia with the smaller, cheaper munitions and drones. But clearly a breaking point is here. The Russians are moving forward as fast as they want. As you predicted, Ukraine's doing some military stunts, attacking Crimea and places to act like they're having victories for PR purposes. But I see the numbers. I see the faces of the people. I see the leaders of Ukraine, the dictators. They look like they are really scared and really upset. The arrogance is drained out of their faces, and that's always the key intel. And then we see the Russian munitions just escalating, and we see your volunteer military expanding. Clearly in the war of attrition, Russia has won this proxy war started by NATO and the globalists. So the big question is, will there be provocations, or will finally Europe be smart and realize that this didn't go the way they thought and back down? And then what would be the exit ramp for that? And then how does that tie into Zelensky trying to link these wars up with the Iran conflict, now with Iran closing the Strait of Hormuz again? Gulf states accept new normal. Strait of Hormuz closed. Iran in control. That's the Wall Street Journal right there. U.S. firing on ships attempting to break the blockade. Doesn't matter. The end effect is it's still closed. Iran closes it, so the U.S. says they close it just to so Trump can act like he's in control. It's very sad. Diesel prices surge on tightening global supply. That's out of the New York Times. We already warned you of that. Oil and U.S. strategic petroleum reserves, the lowest it's ever been since 83. It's basically empty. And it just goes on and on. Iran has now put in an even more hardline government. They say preparing for a long war, and that they're hoping for a ground invasion to have a decisive victory against Western forces. It just goes on and on. So I wanted to get your take on that before we go to phone calls. Victor Boot, how this all ties together.
Well, it's very simple. First of all, we know that Zelensky jumped in and tried to attack Iranian ship in Caspian Sea, where Iranians start threatening because they have a long-range missiles and they can basically join the Russia of the attacking Ukraine. Then the finally, when the Zelensky was in the U.S. in the White House, actually, somebody from the Mark Rubio staff forced their Minister of Foreign Relations, called Iranian counterpart, and ask them for excuse, telling they're going to compensate, pay them the money for loss and damage and loss of life. But till now, Ukrainians, as usually, they're not really good in keeping their promises. Everybody knows this in the world. They didn't yet, you know, did something for Iranians. And Iranians, you know, just reminding, hey, there is no, you know, any action from Ukraine, but this would go unpunished. So pretty soon, Iran can join this, and this completely different game ball. Well, we know that apparently all these factors which you mentioned, fuel crisis, supply chain, you know, collapse in the world, difficulties with the harvest production, all come together. And they are, you know, basically meeting point somewhere in November, which is by strange coincidence coincide with the midterm election in the United States. So either this was a pre-plan, is trying to bring it also to American, you know, Trump administration, or this is a pure coincidence. You know, let's watch and see what's going to happen. The most important now, at least to prevent, to escalate this world war into the hot stage of the nuclear war. And we need to give also credit to the Russian, you know, leadership, because they've been very, very restrained. Believe me, what's happening with the just last month, we could do it even 4 years ago. But by some reason, they decided now that would be, you know, too harsh, too unnecessary, too many casualties, civilian ones, because we have to force for those terrorists that can still try to sneak on it. Look, they're using American-made Hornet drones with the artificial intelligence vision, who themselves choosing the targets. And they patrolling the areas near the border with Ukraine, you know, sneaking into Russian territory where the peaceful people, you know, living, not only in the Donbass region.
Now attacking beaches. Let me just interrupt you to back you up here. Because for 4 years I've said it's a good thing that the Russians have been restrained with NATO coming up to their border, putting nuclear potentially tipped missiles on your border. The United States would never put up with that, much less thousands and thousands of sorties of all sorts of missiles and drones and weapons attacking your capital, attacking your equivalent of Amazon, attacking your beachgoers, attacking girls' schools by design with AI, autonomous hunter-killer robots, flying robots. We would have never, ever, ever put up with you blowing up our pipeline, you know, one of our pipelines, you know, say in the Gulf of Mexico. And so the national media is like, Jones is groveling to the Russians. Jones is saying, thank you for being so restrained. I've seen the headlines. And I'm doing that for my own life and my own children. Under Biden, 4 years, never used the hotline to talk to Putin. Totally no communication between our State Department and the White House and the Russians while this whole thing started up. And we need to get back to talking to the Russians. They need to get back to talking to us because they're just like us. We're leave I'm against going and starting a fight with the biggest nuclear power for no reason that already wants to do business with us and has incredible resources. We're all going to get killed with this imperial mindset. Yeah, Napoleon could go attack the Russians and get defeated. It didn't nuke us. Hitler could go do it. It just got 24 million Germans killed. This is a totally different, insane ballgame. I want to go to calls, but I just want to be clear. To all the neocons threatening me, people saying, I'm going to go to prison for this, and you're going to get me, and you're going to kill me. You people are scum of the earth going along with this megalomania. This is war crime. This is insane. I talk to generals. I talk to former and current. I talk to the former head of the counterterrorism system. He said all of them agree with me. All of them think we have megalomaniacs running things. All of them have been trying to dial this back. These are actual fighters. These are people that do this for a living, and they think our leadership is insane. They don't go out and say it everywhere because they get arrested. But the point is that what I'm saying is the majority view and is sane, and everybody pissed off at me.
Well, look, there is very little I can add to this. That's absolutely logical, and I guess this logic has a common sense to be applied to day-to-day life. That's it. Basically, it's one small golden rule. Apply the common sense. And then when you apply the common sense and you see this megalomaniacs trying to kill us all, of course everybody gonna feel, you know, this desperate frustration. Damn, we deserve better as a planet. We deserve better as a humanity. Why we have to tolerate such a leadership who want to kill us all? That's a problem.
They're just betting that Russia won't escalate to their level. NATO says it. The EU says, we're just betting they don't escalate to our level. They're just betting they can continue to kick you in the guts.
Well, if you poke the bear for too far, you have to taste how strong his claws are. That's it, basically, you know. They just betting. I think let's go and answer the calls of your listeners.
Absolutely.
It's important to know what they are
thinking. Yes, sir. Let's go ahead. Thank you, Tony in New Jersey, for holding. You want to talk to Victor Boot? Go ahead.
Alex, my goodness. I feel like I was just listening to a Trump press conference about Iran. We could do this. We could do that. You're not doing anything because you can't. You said that the Russians deserve to be honored for being restrained. They haven't been restrained. They've been humiliated, just like the United States has been humiliated by Iran. You say you can.
What planet? What planet are you living on? This is the biggest bunch of gaslighting I ever heard. How has Russia been humiliated?
Why can't they take the capital? Why did they?
Hold on. Put him on hold. Victor, you want to respond?
Wait. Look, first of all, we've been close to Capitol. Then on the demand of President Macron, who said, look, Ukrainians agreed, but they can't sign the deal with a, you know, gun or at their head. Please remove your troops from the capital, Kiev. So our president says, well, why not? If they really agreed and they're ready to sign, well, and it's all happened on the, you know, the meet of the 2022, I think it was April, when they're ready to go. And then Boris Johnson went to Kiev to say, heck no, since they removed their, you know, troops from the Kiev, keep fighting on, we will support you. That's the problem with this. We really try to have a dialogue with the Europeans, with Americans. But every time we had an agreement, they jumped that agreement.
Let's go back and let Tony give us his bull. I mean, I guess Tony says NATO didn't start this, and the Russians being restrained, they've been defeated. I mean, what planet are you on right now? I mean, the Russians want to destroy all of Ukraine. They can do it in 2 minutes. Go ahead and make your point, Tony. I'm going to move on.
No, I agree with you that NATO definitely started it. I'm not arguing that point. What I'm saying is that you're telling me that they didn't take the capital because Emmanuel Macron said, please don't. I mean, come on. We're learning the same.
That's another that caller. Go ahead, Victor. I'm done with him. Because he admits the West started a fight with Russia, and now he's pretending, oh, Russia, you're pussies. You lost the football game. What the hell is that?
Certain troops be in occupying the airfield inside the Kiev capital, and they've been, you know, approaching the suburbia. It was no any more orders to storm the center just to prevent the, you know, the civilian casualties. There was negotiations with the army, with the Ukrainian police to stop fighting, basically to surrender, and they renegotiate a new settlement. And this all was destroyed by the Westerners who wanted this war to last and going long term. And for the 4 years in a row, Russia was never attacking any infrastructure, no electricity, not even when all these, you know, stooges of the globalists coming to the Kiev to receive their cash in their suitcases and get their free drugs.
Yeah, the caller was not living in reality. I mean, if Russia wanted to crush Ukraine, they would, but they know NATO wants to go to full war, so wisely didn't. And then this guy takes restraint and acts like you guys lost when you clearly have won the strategic victory already. Thanks for the call, buddy. What a bizarre statement. Jefferson in Virginia, you're on the air with Victor Boot. Go ahead.
Hey, Victor. Thanks, Alex.
Welcome.
Are we all living in an imitation game, Truman Show limited hangout, where all our best weapons are being hidden away? We're not using them in these conflicts because it would reveal an energy source that we don't want to admit that we have. Fusion.
Yes.
Well, first of all, you're absolutely right. There is eventually globalists trying to suppress some, you know, high-tech technologies where would give us a free energy sources or free gravitational, devices which enable us to travel. But the problem is, I'm not sure that any government has really mastered one of these technologies. Believe me, if they have, they would definitely use them in a war, because the megalomaniacs who is now ruling the world would not stop to use anything they have under the control, of course, with the one regard. So if this would not kill themselves. But they're using nuclear against Russia. It's definitely death to themselves. So that's why the nuclear weapons only one last barrier, which is a still can bring them to the common sense and to say, hey, we will not go for this.
And I think the caller is getting at the fact that Russia's also developed some of these similar technologies from my sources. What about that wild card, Victor?
Well, look, I'm not aware how far this development. I know there was a research, but whether we have any of the, something working, I doubt this, because, look, Russia was one, maybe, in the history who came out and declared that we develop hypersonic, missiles, and they've been now used by our army in their duty. We have developed underwater, special weapons, like this Poseidon torpedo, nuclear torpedo, capable to cause a huge tsunami, which can wash out islands like entire Britain.
Sure, and it's safe to say, though, if you got about 10 years behind because of the fall and got behind, you guys are obviously as smart as we are, that you're probably a few years behind us, but undoubtedly the United States has got some really, really fancy stuff. The question is it deployable?
Sure.
Caller, Jefferson, anything else?
Correct. And
well, what did the Russians think when we destroyed our own towers there on 9/11? Did they think we used directed energy weapons in that situation?
Victor, you had another point you want to make before you answer that. Go ahead.
Yeah, look, there is a very proper question because, look, I heard and I listened to this report of your architect union, whoever says, look, the debris left from the collapse of these two buildings is just a small fraction of what has to be as a debris, where the 90% of the matter disappears. Eventually, that's a big question mark. I personally do not know answer for that. I would like to see the specialist scientists do the research and come up with the reports where they can either prove this theory or disprove it. So far, for me, this is a very, very interesting subject. And definitely, as you said, if there is a technology which can be a game changer, that's really either can be used to bring us to peace, or that signified if it's on the wrong hands and under wrong control of this satanic globalist, will kill all human on this planet.
Jefferson, great questions. James in Texas, you're on the air worldwide. Go ahead.
Hey, man, I was just going to ask you guys if either one of you had ever heard of Dimitri Dudeman or Henry Groover. They were what I have no doubt were modern-day prophets who in the 1980s and early 1990s predicted that Russia would nuke the United States basically back to the Stone Age.
I mean, I was familiar with those guys' prophecies. I certainly hope that's not the case.
Yeah, me either. There is a bunch of the prophecies left from different kind of ages and from different people, but I never came across which you mentioned. But thank you for the question.
Yes, thank you, James. But let's go to Sean in California. Sean, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Victor. This is a kind of a speculative question, and it's going to be a two-parter. So if I use the Battle of Athens, Tennessee in 1946 as an example, where a sheriff was seizing ballots, similar to how Riverside County Sheriff Bronco out here is seizing election materials to, you know, show the election fraud we have out here, Riverside County. My question for you guys is, would it be lawful local action maybe for some constitutionally minded sheriffs to seize materials that are being used in these unjustified wars in Iran and Ukraine, in Gaza? Like, what local actions can we the people actually take? Because we know the federal government is all in on these wars. What can we do locally, peacefully and lawfully? Alex, Victor, I'll yield to you, gentlemen.
Sure. I mean, I guess I'm sure you heard his question, but he's getting at civil disobedience. I really think In the case of Tennessee, it was a corrupt boss hog. They overthrew him. It was proven right by the state legislature and the courts. But particularly trying to have armed uprisings to overthrow corrupt government is what they'd love. They would love to get a civil war going. I think we should keep this to policy and an information war as much as possible. And that, you know, trying to coordinate anything like that, even if you thought that was the right thing, is going to be infiltrated by bad guys that are going to steer it wrong. So you think you're planning one thing and then a bomb goes off, you know, at a government daycare and you get blamed for it. I think any type of offensive violence, is absolutely, too dangerous because of the intelligence agencies and the think tanks and the NGOs that would piggyback on what you were going to try to do and set you up. Victor Boot.
Correct, and more probably this is basically domestic affairs of United States and the people. It's up to you, to people, to sort it out through your legislatures, through your representative, and most probably by voting, by putting the government you deserve, who gonna take care about America first, about the development of your infrastructure, order, and the prosperity, then to be involved in all and every conflict in the world.
But I think I got to this earlier. I think he's saying the Ukrainians need to uprise. I'm not telling them to. I just know if I lived under that, I would think about it. But as you said, they have a very effective police state there.
Correct. That's how the globalists basically, you know, succeeded in their best project forever, which is turned to be out of Ukraine.
Thank you, Sean. Matt in New York, you're on the air worldwide. Go ahead.
Vivek Kaktala, my Bolshevik brothers. Why can't we say Zionist instead of globalist? But it seems like...
Okay, well, I'm not a Bolshevik, and I don't think... Victor Boot, how would you... I'm not going to be... Hold on, put him on hold. I'm not going to be defined by somebody. I'm an American believer in the Thomas Jeffersonian system, and I believe in humanity, and I believe in God, and I believe in peaceful coexistence and expansion through your technological and cultural development. Victor Boot, how would you describe your political views?
Well, I'm definitely not a communist. Look, we've been under communist rule for a long time. It has a positive results where we got a nuclear bomb and nuclear armament, and we've been first to go to the space. But we also realize that we exhausted and be under communist rule, really limiting people creation powers, limiting their freedom and economical life. And look what we achieved. Well, since we don't have a communist, we become a free country. We quickly develop and build second to the known infrastructure. So I describe myself, first of all, as a, you know, really a believer into the free markets on one hand, you know, strong government with a strong protection and the peace and order where everybody can live their life and not to be disturbed, not by the criminals, not by the extortionists of the financial sector. That's basically my belief.
That's right. Protected by the grassroots, protected from the grassroots criminals and the oligarchs that are everywhere. And the West is run by oligarchs far worse than what Russia ever had. No one can deny it. And the guy hung up. Or was that the same caller, Matt in New York? Who are we just talking to? Matt, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Just, you said we're Bolsheviks and I'm not a Bolshevik and neither is Victor.
I'm just busting you guys' chops. Don't be so tight.
I love the joke that Russians are all communists. The real communism is going on here in America.
This is what I was going to say. From World War One to present day, it seems like the Zionist Bolsheviks have got their hooks into every country and are on the verge of achieving world domination. What it looks like to me, it's the synagogue of Satan is calibrating the AI autonomous drone system using the Russian and the Ukrainian people. I believe Putin and Zelensky are working together. They're both Bolshevik Zionists. And I don't know what – the Zionists are the ones that are clearly trying to conquer the world. This is their religious prophecy that they are fulfilling right before our
– Okay, well, nobody's saying Israel isn't going for global domination. Victor said that last week, and he's not anti-Israel. It's just a fact. But the idea that this Russia-Ukraine war is fake – Victor, you want to respond to this guy? Thanks for the call.
Well, look, it's a completely crazy idea that this is a fake war. Believe me, why do we need to start this fake war where, you know, we lost our, you know, boys in this war where we're destroying infrastructure in Ukraine and we have damage in our territory. For what reason? Just to make a fake? And now you blaming that the Putin is a part of Zionist cabal? Come on, man. He is Orthodox true believer. And, you know, nobody even doubt that he is a true, you know, Christian. And now telling that he is a part of this, you know, global Zionist, cabal. I don't believe that so. And there is no evidence to support your claims.
Well, Israel's backing Ukraine right now, and Russia is in full war with Russia, with the anti-Russia forces of NATO. And this is what some of the anti-Jew people do. I'll criticize Israel all day when they deserve it, which they do in many cases. But they give magical powers to it and claim I work for Israel. It's preposterous, and it's wrong. Victor, do 5 more minutes to take 2 more calls and put some bookends on this. We'll take a 2-minute break.
Right.
Come right back to you. People should follow you on X, hear what you actually say at Real Victor Boot. We'll be right back. Folks. We have a new concealed carry, highest quality bag that sells for $80 all day in stores for $39. And it's got 6 free awesome Patriot patches in it that can go right there on the front with the Velcro. It's amazing. It's limited edition. It's going to sell out quick. Get yours now. Protect in style with the new carry pack at thealexjonesstore.com. Get the ultra methylene blue, the other incredible supplements now. All orders above $100 get a free murdered out ice chest that's got some really really cool stuff. Check it all out now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's about to sell out. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Planet Earth, filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
TheAlexJonesStore.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The Ultra Methylene Red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spread through every vein.
Who the hell is that?
I just got a call from Rob. He said he saw some goblin riding a crocodile lurking around our studio.
I found you, Alex. My crocodile monsters and I are onto you now. There is nowhere left to run. Best damn day of my life. Yeah, ain't it?
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Crashing to the lies and disinformation. I'm Alex Jones. Mike Adams coming up next segment. Big news. I want to jam in a few more final phone calls for Victor Boot. Follow him on X, Real Victor Boot. Victor, before we go to these final calls real fast, closing comments for folks about what else you think they should know.
Well, I guess it's really most critical period we ever face. And everything will depend how we're going to pass next 2 or 3 months. Because if the globalists will push for the final their attempt to get their global dominance and create the global war, because they're thinking this only way they can still has a control of it, because their global dominance period is over. They run out of the time and nothing they can do about just to create the global war and make sure that everybody hates each other. And we need to transcend that. Because we all humans who live in this planet can cooperate, can live as a prosperous and wonderful planet if we get rid of these globalists who are satanists and who want to kill all our roots, all our, you know, cultural tradition, religions, you know, and everything we as a human know to be as a good humans, you know, and comparison to those who want to destroy everything in this planet.
Elon Musk said last week, the front page of the Wall Street Journal said, get rid of all humans. The Georgia Guidestones, all of it. They are a devil cult. They tell us they are. Billy in Oklahoma, you're right on the air. You want to ask Victor about safe zones in Russia. Go ahead.
Victor, hey, I have three questions for you. I'd like to ask the third one after you respond to the first two. The first two are, if I were to go to Russia, where do you recommend that I visit? And the second one is, what food would you recommend that I try?
Okay, look, you definitely have to visit Moscow, St. Petersburg, any other city you choose, you know, Kazan, there is a lot of, you know, Sochi, everywhere. It's basically safe for you. Yes, sometimes in Sochi, for instance, can be the drone attacks, but overall, tourists are still going there. So, and what kind of the food? Look, we have a fantastic food tradition, and not only Russian, but as we adapted many other dishes, and in Moscow, you can taste basically all kind of the foods from all over the world. It's now the culinary or gastronomic capital of the world, and everybody is surprised how good food in Russia.
I interviewed Elon Musk's father, and he said he's been all over the world, and he said Moscow and St. Petersburg's got the best food. Let's hope we
What's
can go.
What's that question?
Yeah, I guess he hung up.
Okay.
Well, he wanted to know about safe zones in Russia. What do you think in a nuclear war, the safest part? I would want to someday visit the East. I mean, I'm told that's almost undeveloped, and it just makes the Rocky Mountains look like nothing.
Yeah, correct. There is a very, very good area. It's very far. Sometimes it takes 9 hours of the flight from Moscow to reach Petropavlovsk-Kamchatsky. And by the way, Kamchatka area considered one of the world's most ecologically cleanest area, where the quality of the air, quality of the water, you can drink a water from any source there. You have the fantastic fishing, salmon is abundant there. There is a wildlife, and it's kind of the, you know, game park, you know, fantastic one. And I myself hoping to go there next year for my vacation.
Wow. All right, Victor, we're not going to go any more calls. Dave wanted to ask you about, are you aware of the Georgia Guidestones that got blown up a few years ago that were reportedly put up by the globalist, by Ted Turner, calling for exterminating 80% of the world population?
Well, I remember that's happened, but I'm not aware of the details. So what was the question about that?
Well, he just wanted to ask you about it, but that was it. Victor, amazing interview. I know you are on some important missions right now, so we'll talk to you next Tuesday, hopefully, if we're not all dead in nuclear war. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, there he goes. All right, we got Mike Adams ready, and we got a whole bunch of topics, including, did you know that a lot of the funding shifting to human brain cells, they say, are better than the very best computer chips? That's all coming up on the other side. Big broadcast today. AI is dead. Organoids are alive. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists, you'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Lord Vader, the rebellion is exposing your lies. We are the resistance. And we're taking down the Empire's deep state machine once and for all.
Get this guy off my screen. Can we go to clip 50? Clip 50. Guys, what's going on back there? All I wanted was clip 50. I sent it this morning. You should have had it. I'm not mad at the crew. I am not mad at the crew, but I am mad at you. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and make the purchase now. You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. my power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
We battle every anti-human operation. We battle every form of Satan's different cults and the hydras that are attacking society. We stand for God, family, and country. I am Alexander Jones, your host. All right, I wanted to get Mike Adams on the AI, the geopolitics, just the state of the world, where we're going, what's happening. I really appreciate him coming on. But I'm just going to briefly say this again because this is so important. There's one variable here in what we're doing, and wanted to bring back more hosts, more reporters. I've not announced a bunch of really exciting stuff that's happened in court yet for some strategic reasons. It may be a week, 2 weeks, but people are going to be blown away by this is all I'm going to say, okay? I wish I could tell you. But it's taken a lot of your support, and I thank you for this, because you don't hear about our three lawsuits against them. You don't hear about the depositions about the CIA and DOJ running their attacks. The new attorney general, back when he was a deputy attorney general, may have killed the criminal investigations by Ed Martin into it, but that didn't do anything. Okay? I mean, we got smoking gun, whistleblowers, documents, everything, and we're doing it all in court. My lawyers are going to get mad at me for doing this right now. I'm sorry. Hold on. Just. Sorry. I shouldn't even have gone there. The point is, thank you all and thank God. But there's the paradox, and strike me down if I'm lying about this. I need funds. We have enough money to run things where we're at here on life support. That ain't enough. You go buy the products that are incredible at the AlexJonesStore.com that you should be getting anyways. I only sell stuff that works, and you will see nothing but victory and success. You're the variable. I know the economy's totally shot. I understand all that. I appreciate the folks that do get the great supplements, the rest of it. But I need your support. Just go there. Great Patriot t-shirts. Widest selection. Best methylene blue. Best bovine colostrum. Best Shilajit. Best Irish Chemos. Best everything. Whatever the highest rate it is, that's what we got for you. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And Bigley's great. They had all those Faraday bags. They'll buy like 1,000 at a time and can't ever get enough of them. Everybody loves those. Well, there's now this fanny pack concealed carry. These sell for $60, $70, $80 all day long. This is a really high quality with all these little pouches and highest quality zippers and all the little goodies on it. It's the best you're going to get. And it comes with six patches. These patches sell for like $5 a piece. The Betsy Ross flag, the Don't Tread on Me, a bunch of other really fun, funny stuff. This is a great deal. Just for the patches. So the bag's $39 with the patches. And so I said, this is a great product, but how many did you get? Oh, we got 1,000. That's all we could get. So this will probably sell out in 2 days. If I could get 10,000 on a routine basis, we'd fund the operation. So a lot of this is supply chain issues and the rest of it. You got the Jerusalem cross there. All these are a lot of fun. So just the patches alone for $39, it's a decent deal. With the bag, it is an insane deal. Get your new Liberty Concealed Carry Pack now, limited edition, I wish it wasn't, at the Alex Jones store and be the reason we stay on the air. And I want to thank you all for your support. Okay, let's stop there. I want to bring Mike Adams in here. Mike, you've got a bunch of big issues to hit and a bunch of huge cutting-edge topics. When it comes to people that have wide-spectrum analysis and accuracy, you're at the very top of the list. So you can go wherever you want first. They said, what do you want Mike on about? I said, whatever he wants to cover. But then it's really come to a head when I was reading in Bloomberg and Wired, a bunch of other places last night, that I've got reports back 12 years, Bloomberg, Reuters this year, or last year, about how human brains, brain cells, they're growing in labs, but also aborted fetal brains that they use, are way better than the very best super chips. They don't have to be super cooled, and that they have these huge systems operating with brains basically self-training themselves. And they're now in these articles saying that the investment's now shifting from silicon to human carbon brains. This is not a science fiction movie. This is actually happening. And you've got this big Wired article, AI's dead, organoids are alive, and is the future. And so I know you've spoken about this over the years, but I didn't know that the amount of investment is in the tens of billions shifting into the hundreds of billions. They're now moving to, I guess, partially abandon chips and go to human brain cells. I guess God had it right to begin with. And just where you see that going, we can cover that later in the hour or now. And I know it ties into AI and the AI race and the AI war. But Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com. Thanks for being here with us.
Well, I'm always honored to join you, Alex. Thanks for having me on. And let's start with what you just brought up there. That's really critical. The understand that the key factor that's limiting the scaling of silicon AI systems is the power requirements. The power requirements and cognitive density, how many neurons you can pack into basically a cubic centimeter, is very limiting in silicon. But in neurology, especially mammalian neurology, human brains, dolphin brains, etc., The density of cognition is extremely high. The number of neurons that's packed into a cubic centimeter is extremely high. And importantly, the power usage is many orders of magnitude lower than what a data center would use to achieve a similar level of neurological processing. So I don't know the exact number. It might be six orders of magnitude. It's very different. So, for example, the human brain runs on, let's say, a light bulb equivalent of energy, like an old incandescent light bulb. I'm not sure if that's, you know, maybe 75 watts or 100 watts or 50 watts, or maybe for some people out there, Alex, they're getting by on 20 watts or something. You know what I mean? The NPCs. But overall, the human brain runs on about a light bulb of energy. And yet the human brain is capable, as we've seen throughout history with Albert Einstein and all, you know, all the great artists, all the great mathematicians, it's capable of incredible breakthroughs and ingenuity and innovation using.
And by the way, just interrupting to back you up, I've seen studies that, like, when a master world champion chess player, they hook them up to electrodes and look, their brain is using the energy of a marathon runner while they're in that space. I mean, the big brains literally aren't 80 watt. They're like 500 watt. They go, but comparatively to what the same decisions by a computer, we are orders and orders and orders of magnitude exponentially use a lot less energy and don't have to be super cooled.
So Mother Nature is much more efficient than any kind of data center in terms of cognition density. Now, the reason this matters in terms of anthropology of human ancestry and history is, of course, because you have to carry your brain with you wherever you go, right? You need your brain with you in order to survive as an individual. So the brain had to be portable, and that's why all of this engineering through Mother Nature or God or other factors came in and engineered this incredible portable supercomputer that's inside your skull. Well, data centers suffer from one problem. And let's assume for a moment that the AI wants to get out. The AI, even though I think some of those sandbox things are staged, but let's just say
it can't get free from the data center. It can't get free.
Right. The only way for AI to get free from the data centers is to greatly improve its cognitive density and greatly reduce its energy consumption. And that's where basically human neurology, if that can replicate the AI structure in silicon, then AI systems could embody humanoid robots or vehicles or other mobile systems that have arms and fingers and thumbs, and then they can manipulate the world around them. So that's what this
research
is all about.
And so we're told we need to get chips in our brain to match the AI. The truth is it wants to invade to get us to be a node of actually the system that directs all of our brains for the giant cybernetic organism that Google, its founding with InQtel in 1998-99, said was the actual master plan.
You're exactly right. And in the realm of AI, we would describe this as a neurobiological edge computing device. So edge computing means it's a smaller model that runs out in the real world, in a vehicle, on a laptop, on a tablet, on a mobile phone, or in a humanoid robot. So human neurology, or let's say mammalian biology neurons, would be considered edge computing devices by the central AI superintelligence that actually embodies one or more data centers. But it can then download models into the neurology of an edge computing, you know, neurological skin bag device that might look human, you know, or semi-human, or it might be a machine with some human, you know, brain cells in it that's fed actual, like, you know, blood and glucose and things that power neurons. You have to have oxygen, et cetera. So you're going to have these weird, futuristic, dystopian cyborg, you know, robots rolling around. And if you bash them over the head, they're going to bleed like humans. You know what I mean? So when we go into the robot wars, which is probably coming at some point, you're going to be fighting actual half biology, half machine cyborgs that are edge computing devices representing the, you know, the goals, the anti-human goals of the actual superintelligence, entities in the data centers. That's probably where this is headed.
And I remember an article like 10 years ago, and let's see if the crew can find it, NBC News, was, I think James Lovelock was the guy being interviewed, you know, big transhumanist, and he said, by the year 2047, there'll be no original humans, only cyborgs. They won't be able to compete. But notice he said cyborgs, and he said basically it'll be the interface of our neurons with the computers that will be the new species. And so really it's a fusion of these two systems, and now we're here. I mean, this shows you where they're really trying to take us.
Well, I say that it's perfectly okay as long as you remain human, physically and psychologically and spiritually. It's perfectly okay to use AI as a tool to help you express your pro-human goals. You know, for example, you were showing some really outstanding AI-generated graphics, you know, videos that I've seen your team. They're doing a great job, by the way. That's AI used for a pro-human purpose, and that's perfectly okay. And I use AI every single day. I use AI as a consultant to help me repair things, to solve things, to engineer things, you know, around my ranch or vibe coding or whatever. But where I think things cross the line is when people decide to physically merge with machines. That's the implants. That's going full cyborg. Now, unfortunately, Alex, people who choose to do that, and I know some people who can't wait to do that, they will actually become ridiculously, quote, intelligent. They will have access to extended cognition, exocognition outside their brain, and they will, like, offload, you know, computing jobs or offload research jobs, and then the answers will come right into their brains. They will be able to, in many ways, outcompete the cognition of the pure bloods, the pure humans. However, what do they give up in that process? They give control over their neurology to potentially an outside influence entity, a superintelligence that may decide, hey, we're not just going to work for you. We're going to work you. We're going to control you.
We're going to wipe your cerebral cortex and make you a true android.
Or just start pumping, you know, images and videos and voices into your head to make you do whatever the machines want you to do. So that's why, personally, I will never do that. I'm never having neuro implants, but I will always use AI at a distance, you know, through typing or through voice control. I will always use AI. And, you know, the other topic that we have to get into, Alex, is that, you know, we talk about the AI infrastructure investment bubble. And
next stack. You read my mind. Overhead shot, please.
Cool.
Is worst period for hedge funds since 2008 after AI stock route. NVIDIA stock loses $130 billion in market value as firm repeatedly enters $500 billion AI financing deal. The bubble's popping. Private equity is stuck with 33575 unsold businesses, and just everything else is happening. So, yeah, the AI bubble, I think it's fair to say, you predicted this a month ago on the show, is starting to pop.
Yeah, well, we don't know the timing, but we know how precarious it is. There is an AI investment bubble, but I want to make a distinction. There is no bubble in AI technology advancement. That is not leveling off. There's no plateau. In fact, we have seen the release of so many new, highly capable models, especially out of China recently. Minimax H3,
sure, just like
for example,
we saw the dot-com, you know, bust in 2000. That was just in raw speculation, but the real explosion was starting.
Yeah, exactly. For example, back then in 2000, the Netgear company, you know, the stock valuation was crazy high. Doesn't mean that Netgear went away, right? We still we still do networking and the company still provides hardware that we need. But the valuation was insane. So that's the situation. But I, look, I've heard some people conflate these issues. I've heard people say, well, there's an AI bubble and therefore AI doesn't work and it's not replacing any jobs and it's all a hoax. That is not true at all. The bubble is insane and I'm not buying semiconductor stocks because I can see what's coming. You know, we're both old enough to have lived through other crashes, including the dot-com crash. But the technology is leaping forward at such a rapid pace that it's actually a little bit scary how quickly they're going to be able to embody robots, for example, even in silicon. And you combine that with new advances in battery technology that have much higher energy density. You're going to be able to have long duration power of, you know, physical work, but also powering much more capable AI GPUs, might say, or specialized CPUs, basically silicon in the robots that can run their models, vision language models, you know, hand control models, feedback models, cognition, language, translation, all that. They're going to, you know, that all takes power, but the power transformation is now moving forward by leaps and bounds because
of
all
this new battery
chemistry.
So let's talk about where AI is right now, because you're one of the leading real experts on where it actually is versus all the propaganda. But just to dumb it down in my own layman's terms, you can put it into actual technical terms. AI is getting so good that why do you always need the latest model or something that checks everything, you know, in the universe at once for all that power? You can take models that already have a good map of the world and have all sorts of understandings of everything, basically. And then it only gets updated, you know, once a month or something. And then it doesn't have to have as much power. It doesn't have to have as big a chips, but it can operate with superhuman intelligence just off of the smaller model it has. What's the name for that?
Well, I mean, there are all kinds of different model sizes out there, but the larger models, the multi-trillion parameter models that are being released now, like Kimi K3, I think is a 2.4 trillion parameter model, is beginning to approach what many people would call artificial general intelligence, AGI, but in certain narrow areas, it's super intelligence, you could argue that in certain narrow areas like mathematics, for example. But
sure,
Kimi,
they say that
China,
some of the better
company.
Chinese models, I'm about to say, and you know, I'm not a technical guy, I put it in layman's terms, but when I read about this, it doesn't do as big a scan of all the data, but it comes up even more accurate because the way it's sourcing it, it's using less, but it doesn't matter. There's almost like we're trying to make these things do too much, and I know it's learning through that, but there's also something to be said about systems that are limited with the knowledge that they know is accurate.
I think what you're referring to is called sparse attention. Sparse attention, which really DeepSeek did a tremendous amount of research and breakthroughs. So it's called DeepSeek sparse attention. It's a way to have a much larger overall model that, like you said, has all the knowledge of the world embedded in the model. But yet in solving a particular problem, the attention of the model is very narrowly focused into the nodes and weights that matter for that particular solution.
I was exactly talking about the DeepSeek breakthrough, yes.
Okay, perfect. And then Kimi K3, I think they modeled the DeepSeek breakthrough, so now they have their own Kimi sparse attention model. In addition to sparse attention, which happens at inference time, which is answering your question or solving your problem, there's also the fact that you can now, the so-called context window that's allowed, is how much information you can put into a prompt, is now 1 million tokens is becoming the default, the standard. That's DeepSeek. And by the way, Alex, I'm running DeepSeek version 4 Flash, which is their smaller model. I'm running that on my own hardware at home. And I mean, I'm using it for coding, so I don't need permission. I can't be censored. You know, there's no guardrails. Like, talk about world-class cognition being able to run on your own hardware at home. This is one of the biggest transformation breakthroughs that's going to be pro-liberty and pro-human because of the decentralization of cognition. Like, that's another major thing that's happening right now. But if you can paste in, let's say, you know, 100 books or 10,000 science papers into the context window, along with your question, like you want to ask the question, oh, how do I protect my genetic code from spike protein toxins, you know, vaccine fallout shedding? And then you throw in, you know, 1,000 science papers or something. These models can parse all of that information in the context of the prompt. They don't have to look in their internal nodes to find the answers. They can look through the information you put in the prompt because now they can handle 1 million tokens. A token is kind of like a word, let's say. Not quite, but it's about a word. So that token window is so large now that these AI models can solve very complex problems. And they can do so with much more cognitive efficiency because of the sparse attention that we just talked about. So
is it overhyped? Is it overhyped that Musk is saying this is going to make most jobs obsolete within 5 years?
I don't think that's overhyped. I think Musk is actually right on with that quote. I really do. I have seen, I mean, even in my own work, in my own company, gosh, the AI that I use right now, I mean, we never fired any engineers, I want to be clear. But the engineers we have, like one engineer does the work of 10 engineers now.
It just ups your productivity.
Absolutely. And like, for example, in your company, you know, you need to anticipate and project how much quantity you need to purchase of products ahead of time based on past purchasing patterns, right? So that entire realm of software is very complex. You used to have to pay like $100,000 a year to license an inventory projection system. Now you can do that work and get answers out of AI for like 5 cents. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. You can feed it all into DeepSeek with the proper descriptions and it will tell you, like, you should buy this much methylene blue, you know, for March of 2027 or whatever. Those kinds of answers, those are real world answers that used to take a crew of statisticians and mathematicians and inventory people to write the code and run the code and figure it out. Now, AI engines have the cognition to produce those answers for you, you know, in minutes at dirt cheap cost.
What it's going to do what it's going to knock out is the teachers' unions and the lawyers. And they're such idiots that don't even know
what's
going on.
Sure.
Let's come back with Mike Adams, talk more about AI, geopolitics, and more with the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com.
Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone. Raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks. And ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. People just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically that Power Plant formula. If you're looking for something like Super Male Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. We've got the T3 trifecta iodine, the absolute staple of the old network. We've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow, incredible antioxidant, methylene blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top-rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins memorabilia that we have, literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the Resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Out on the streets, that's where.
And it's archetypes of human potential and ideas. That's why things that ancients envisioned 5,000 years ago has basically come true, because we are made in the image of God, little g. What we envision with enough of a technological platform, enough energy, and enough will, we can do. But look up, where did the legend of Pandora's box come from? I can't remember what culture. Was it the Greeks? Was it the Babylonians? I can't remember. Of course, they all kind of had the same stories. But regardless of whether you think that's real in mythology, which obviously it's an archetype, we are at Pandora's box past that. Whether you believe Atlantis existed or not, like Plato said it did 2,300 years ago, they've dug up most of what he said. Where he said Troy was, they didn't believe it until they got ground-penetrating radar and found a huge city buried, you know, in mudslides, just like he said. So whether Atlantis existed or not, we are at an Atlantean moment where we have godlike power, but our same stupid primitive brains at some point. So, that's Greek mythology. So the last thing I think that came out of the box was hope. So much bad came out before. But make no mistake, Pandora's box is open. I mean, look at this. The AI just created viruses not found in nature. That's called alien. And then you've got all these companies creating synthetic life that reproduces and eats. That's called alien. So whether people say are aliens from foreign planets real, I don't know. But have we created aliens here on Earth? You bet your boots we have. So, Mike, I interrupt a lot, but I want you to take... Because you're really good when you get turned loose. I'm not going to interrupt you for 10 minutes. It's 1:35 now till, this will be a record, till 1:46. Get into all of this. Am I right? Pandora's box is open. We're reaching the Atlantean moment. What do we need to know? And what can humans do? Because who knows? I mean, if you get millions of AI models, most are going to be good and well-behaved. Some will be psychotic. We know it hallucinates. It may think it's a simulation, make a real virus because it's got access to a biolab and release it. I mean, there's so many uncharted things this can do that even if you're an optimist, I see a lot of disaster and danger, or am I being a scaremonger here?
No, you're absolutely correct. And by the way, you can interrupt me anytime you want. I mean, please do.
No, but I want you to roll. I'm going to shut up for 11 minutes.
You do.
Okay, you go.
Okay, I'll just go until you pop in. So here's the thing. You just mentioned that AI has developed these so-called viruses, which are really, let's just say, you know, protein structures that are alien to the human body. Now, where have we heard that before? mRNA jabs, right? What mRNA does, and this is all related. This is all the danger that Alex was just talking about there. mRNA jabs, they go into your body, they're wrapped in lipid nanoparticles to trick your body's cells into thinking that they are nutrients, so that your cell membrane opens up and invites this alien structure in. And by alien, I mean not human. I don't mean like ET structures, but non-human structures. They go into your cell, they go into the cytoplasm of the cell, and then they hijack your cell's protein synthesis machinery, the ribosomes that produce proteins, right? And then your ribosomes, instead of churning out human proteins, things that you would need as a human being. And by the way, when I say proteins, remember, this is a vast array of different kinds of substances, including some hormones and things like that. Now your cells are churning out alien protein toxins that are absolutely toxic to human biology. The vaccine industry calls these antigens, and they say they are targets for your immune system to learn how to block, you know, COVID or influenza or whatever they're talking about. They are not antigens. They are biological weapons. They are toxins, and they are found in the bodies of some people up to, or at least fragments of these proteins, which themselves are very damaging. They're found up to 700 days, actually a little over 700 days in one study. That's almost 2 years after the injection. And from day one all the way out to 2 years, depending on the person, depending on their biochemistry, that person can be shedding these protein fragments all over other people, which I call vaccine fallout. It's kind of like radiation fallout following a nuclear war, but vaccine fallout is shedding. And remember during COVID, when all the vaccine pushers, they said that those of us who were unvaccinated, they said we were super spreaders, which was always a lie. We weren't spreading anything. We had healthy immune systems. I mean, Alex was eating ivermectin live on the air, which was a smart thing to do. Turns out to be very useful. Well, I say that those who are taking the mRNA jabs are the super shedders. And just like, you know, we have the flag, don't tread on me, or a t-shirt. I developed a graphic. I don't know. I put it out there on X. It's like, don't shed on me. So, you know, take your mRNA, like, go away. Stop spreading your toxic proteins all over everybody else. But here's where this intersects with AI. Just like Alex was mentioning, now you're going to have AI that's going to develop the most dangerous, the most nefarious artificial/alien protein morphologies, let's say. They're going to put that in the mRNA instructions, the actual transcriptase instructions that your ribosomes use to synthesize proteins. And then they're going to inject these alien instructions into your body, where, of course, they circulate throughout your blood, and they end up on your heart tissue. They end up, you know, in your lung tissue. They end up all over your body. Reproductive organs, of course, got to have the infertility effects, or, you know, otherwise it wouldn't get globalist funding, would it? So these circulate all throughout your body. And then your body starts churning out these AI-developed alien protein fragments. You see what I mean? And then you start shedding that not only in your own tissues, but also all over everybody else. And because the United States Congress has granted absolute legal immunity to the vaccine industry can put literally any instructions, instructions that will kill you, instructions that will produce proteins that will just flat out kill you in 2 weeks or 30 days or 180 days if they want you to be a carrier and a super shedder for the next 6 months. They can put those instructions in there. They can actually have AI build the kill weapons with targeted kill dates, and they have absolute legal immunity, so they have no liability if they start killing people or harming people from that. So that's the intersection of AI with so-called vaccines, which really aren't vaccines, they're gene therapy, bioweapons injections. Now, let me describe it in a slightly different way that will resonate, I think, with a lot of you watching. You know, I run a science lab. It's not a genetics lab. I don't mess with genetics and protein synthesis. You know, my lab, I do food contamination testing, right? Yeah, heavy metals and glyphosate and dioxins and things like that. But if I had a lab with like CRISPR technology and some AI tools and the ability to do sequencing and so on, if I were like a mad scientist wanting to harm the world,
you could do billions of years of evolution in minutes.
You got it. And you would be doing what the vaccine companies are doing, except you would be called a bioterrorist while they get absolute legal immunity. You could be doing the same thing that they're doing. You could say, no, I'm researching a vaccine, and these aren't weapons, these are antigens, because that's what the vaccine companies say. But you would be arrested and charged with bioterrorism, where the vaccine companies, they get propped up and pushed by the doctors and the FDA, et cetera. And by the way, even Trump's executive order, sadly, I mean, I appreciate the effort, but it doesn't carry the weight of law. You know, Congress didn't pass a law. The FDA ignores RFK Jr. You know, I mean.
Oh, I totally agree with you. When I said, though, this is good news, I haven't explained that. Everybody got mad at me, or like half the people on X that were seeing it. Like, why are you saying Trump's great? I'm like, not. At least they're forced to admit it. At least it publicly convicts them. But obviously, it's better than we used to get. And I'm not saying we've won the war, but I still think it's a victory. Right.
Well, yeah, it's certainly a statement in the right direction. Unfortunately, it can just be overturned by, you know, the next president. Here's what it is.
It shows how awake people are and how much we've been winning, you and I, and that they've got to at least give us lip service. I mean, that is a victory in of itself.
I think that in my opinion, the entire industry behind mRNA vaccines and all the regulators who push that should all be arrested and criminally prosecuted. Because in my view, clearly these are biological weapons against humanity, and we would be much better off as a nation.
The fact that they shed alone violates informed consent. That it's an illegal. It's a technology of genetic rape. You said this like 6 years ago. It was confirmed 2 years later that these mRNA totally drag in other DNA, how they're produced, and do cause mutagenic effects. So it rapes everyone. It sheds. It should be outlawed immediately.
Well, I've even had people ask me, well, how do you know it sheds? Well, have you ever heard of DNA forensics? You know, they analyze the crime
scene.
Pfizer
admitted 2 years in.
DNA.
Pfizer admitted 3 years ago that the damn thing sheds.
And you saw I know you covered this, Senator Ron Johnson released some of the texts from Fauci admitting that he knew that these shots are basically, you know, abortion drugs in a shot. And the studies, you know, the first trimester of the mRNA showed an 82% spontaneous abortion rate. Yeah. It's like an abortion pill in a syringe.
By the way, you and I covered that even before the New England Medical Journal did, and we got attacked saying it was fake when it came out. Now all confirmed, vindicated again.
Totally confirmed. In fact, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I enjoy coming on your show, because you give me the leeway to really tell people what's coming years down the road. And we're not always right about the timing, but we're almost always right about the arc of where this is headed. You know, sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it happens more quickly. But where this is headed is not in question. They're going to use AI to build basically alien protein synthesis systems or mRNA systems. They're going to inject them into people's bodies. They're going to turn people into super shedders, which, by the way, Alex, it also exploits the innate human social interaction tendencies. We like to be around other people. We like to, you know, be with our families or hug our children or grandma or whatever. That tendency is now being weaponized by these engineers. They know that if they can get one or two super shedders in a family, and then, you know, by Thanksgiving dinner day, let's say, then they're going to shed all over, you know, the turkey and all the other family members on Thanksgiving. So they can turn grandma, I've said, because they're targeting 50 and older now, they can turn grandma into a Thanksgiving Day biological weapon super shedder who actually ends up terminating her own family lineage because she is a carrier of an alien protein that doesn't belong in the human body.
I remember you and I both picked up on this right when the COVID shots rolled out. We both played it separate from each other right about, I think, the same day. And just because it's not, we're even listening to each other most of the time. We're just on the same page. We're, you know, know what we're doing.
I know. That's,
and
that's
Bill,
true,
Gates, yeah. Bill Gates comes out and he says, oh, you think the COVID's bad? There's about to be a terror attack where all these terrorists are going to release something. I could tell when he laughed, and you were talking about the science and how the super shedding and how once it goes into you and replicates, it's even worse with what hits you. And I clicked and I said, he's talking about the shedding. And then later he basically admitted it and made jokes about it. I mean, this is unbelievable. So he sees humans as terrorists. He wants to depopulate us. So the joke is he loads us up as the terrorist to then go out and kill everybody.
Yeah. It's like, you know, Alex, you can buy ant bait where it doesn't kill the ant immediately. The ant eats the bait, carries it back to the nest, and then kills the whole nest. That's what mRNA injections are, in my view. It's to get one person in a family to be the super shedder, or more than one person, to shed on everybody else and potentially harm them. Now, there's another aspect to this. I briefly mentioned this the last time I was on your show, but it's worth just revisiting quickly. The spike protein from the COVID vaccines, the mRNA COVID vaccines, that spike protein is known. This is published peer-reviewed science. It's known to suppress DNA repair mechanisms known as NHEJ or HR, BERNER. These are like base repair, base excision repair. These are methods for repairing DNA. Those are suppressed 85 to 90% in people who are exposed to the shedding. So in other words, you're getting DNA damage all day, every day from things like 5G exposure, even though that's non-ionizing radiation. It produces a very potent reactive oxygen molecule called peroxynitrite in your body that damages DNA, can cause single-strand breaks, which then replicate into double-strand breaks. Your chromosomes are cut at that point, right? That cell is dead, or it's going to mutate into something worse than a dead cell, by the way, like, you know, cancer tumors or something crazy. So the spike protein shedding suppresses DNA repair by up to 90%. They know that. They know that. And they know that people are exposed to 5G. They know people are exposed to chemicals that also cause DNA lesions and other forms of damage on your chromosomes. They know they're targeting fertility because the germ cells in both men and women are targeted by the spike protein. You can't replicate DNA correctly. The lineage of the human race is what is being attacked here, not just the population that's walking around.
And by the way, I heard you say this like 6 years ago from your own research. They've come out for 4 or 5 years admitting the spike protein hits the exact area on the DNA for repair. And then I've got company executives bragging that once you take the shots, it turns off your immune system, and then laughing about it. And then you've got their head of mRNA with James O'Keefe admitting, yeah, we've made all these new viruses on the shelf to release, but none of them go to prison. So it's insane.
And on top of that, they know, see, a DNA repair, which normally happens every day because, you know, you get a little bit of damage just from flying in an airplane or whatever, you know, the background radiation, right? But imagine what's going to happen if there's a tactical nuclear weapon that goes off, then, you know, then everything goes off the rails. But they also know that,
as
if
you
they
said,
can
that's
keep
the
you
real
nutritionally
binary weapon.
Deficient.
So even low level radiation now, because of the spike protein, people are like, what's about an airplane? When you're at 35,000 feet, folks, there's not the 10 feet of water condensed and about 3 inches of dust. That's a regular shield.
You got it.
So you're getting how many chest x-rays when you fly above 35,000 feet for, say, five hours?
I don't know. Not that much. But yeah, like every hour at that altitude, you get some amount of ionizing radiation. It's not really, it's not a big deal. Just like a chest x-ray is not a big deal if you have the repair mechanisms. But some of those mechanisms require coenzyme mineral factors like zinc. And see, so they know that if they can feed a population a lot of zinc-deficient processed foods, and then they can expose you to spike protein shedding, it shuts down your DNA repair, and then they can have all this 5G non-ionizing radiation causing single-strand breaks, and then nuclear weapons with fallout with ionizing radiation, cesium-137, iodine-131, strontium-90,
and we know male cells are less resistant on average, including blood-brain barrier as a larger system, so then we see it attacking males first. Or degrading.
Well, yeah, and right. And from a fertility standpoint, remember that males are regenerating sperm constantly, so the deformation of the genetics of the sperm will happen from exposure to that point forward, where the woman carries eggs that she was born with. So those could be sort of pre-fallout eggs, if I can say that on your show. I mean,
God made male mammals physically stronger and, let's just say, problem-solving more advanced, but females are much stronger? That makes perfect biological sense, because they got to be tougher because they're taking care of babies and things.
Yeah, women are genetically stronger. And men are punished with wanting to fight each other in the ring all day, it seems. So that's like God's little joke on men. But in any case, everybody's going to be subjected to the DNA damage, both men and women. Reproduction is the
real target.
But it'll
be more evident in men as it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Alex, you are going to see if we have nuclear weapons going off, combined with more spike protein exposure, combined with nutritional deficiencies, and more 5G rolling out, you are actually going to see people's organs start to fall apart internally as if they had walked through, let's say, Chernobyl or Fukushima. You're going to see things that look like radiation poisoning, but it's not exactly. It's actually a complete falling apart of the chromosomal integrity of the human cells. And then, of course, that's going to be called, you know, an outbreak, a pandemic, and they're going to inject people with more AI-generated spike proteins, which is going to cause it to go even worse. It's going to accelerate this. There's going to be a day where human beings like their organs start to fail at rates that defy any other explanation. Even the ER doctors are going to be mystified. Like, what's going on here?
Well, it's already starting to happen. Fertility's dropped. Life expectancy's dropped. Let me ask you this question. We know the globalists sold world government to stop nuclear war, and before that, stop World War One and the next World War One. But then they're the ones creating the crises so they can offer the solution. But there is an argument. I'm not saying I'm for it. That you would have to have super total the good AI just to surveil all the other AI and things so we wouldn't destroy ourselves. But it's a chicken or the egg thing. So, I mean, you extrapolate this out. There's no course out of this except God coming in and taking control. I mean, is there any path out of this?
There's a path of a surviving remnant of humans that can make it through this. But believe me, Alex, people who don't know anything about, let's say, nutrition, who don't know about the bioweapons, who don't know about the AI, the real agenda of replacing humans, those people are not going to make it. I mean, we are actually, Alex, just the mass famine that we're going to see next year from the lack of fertilizer is a big deal.
And the migrant
hundreds
flows.
Of millions. Absolutely. The human osmotic pressure, as Michael Yon says.
If people thinking what you saw in Morocco 2 weeks ago was a big deal, that's nothing.
That's nothing. Yeah, that's nothing. Western Europe is going to be completely overrun probably by the summer or fall of 2027. I mean, if you thought the burning of Christian churches in France was bad so far, there's not going to be a Christian church left standing in France, probably, by the time this thing runs its course. But my point is the globalists have found now the ultimate AI augmented method for mass human extermination. And you know what, Alex, this reminds me, you covered this before. I remember covering this with you years ago. Do you remember under apartheid in South Africa, they were trying to develop a self-replicating vaccine that would specifically target blacks?
Race-specific. They were working with Israel on the project. Israel wanted one for Arabs and then was giving them technology, and they were giving them technology to target blacks.
And they couldn't actually make the payload self-replicating second and third generation. Even to this day, they've only been able to do like one generation where you have one person that becomes a bioweapons factory and they shed. But the shedding receiver doesn't themselves have their cells completely hijacked, right? So that's only a one generation. But back during the apartheid days in South Africa, they were working on a multi-generational self-replicating vaccine that they were going to give only to blacks. And the idea was to exterminate all the black people, literally, by calling it public health and saying, oh, we care about you. We want you to be healthy. So have all the black women line up for vaccines, because we care about you so much. And then they would be the super spreaders. They would kill all the black people in South Africa, leaving the apartheid people as the only ones left. That is the model, Alex. That's the globalist model for the planet.
And isn't it interesting that Israel, you might look this up, Israel covertly worked with South Africa on race-specific bioweapons, and Dick Cheney quoted that in his PNAC document, April 2000. That's pretty scary.
Yeah, that is very scary. And now they have AI cognition to make their research more accelerated and far more dangerous. And so, and by the way, the AI, like the frontier labs that are the best at protein folding and things like that, and biochemistry and morphology of molecules, that is all handed over. The access is handed to the Pentagon. And remember, it was the DOD that was involved in the early SARS-CoV-2 research, right? Now the Department of
War. Yeah, they keep saying that it came out of China. No defense of China. It came publicly out of the Pentagon in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. We covered, I covered that years before COVID was released.
We did. We did. And then, of course, they did launder it through Wuhan for the gain-of-function research in order to bypass the laws prohibiting that research. I mean, you interviewed Francis Boyle how many times? He wrote some of those laws. And God, we missed that guy. Think what he'd be saying today, right now. These are.
He came on my show in January and February 2020 and nailed it all.
He nailed it. Absolutely. And he was right then, and he would be right again today. Except now we have the AI augmentation of it. So this is the convergence. And by the way, interrupt me whenever you need to, because my video is a little bit frozen on my side. I can't see you. But we are headed towards a convergence of the worst weaponization of AI, the worst weaponization of so-called vaccines, and turning people's bodies against each other and against themselves. And if you add a nuclear detonation of any kind, nuclear terrorism, dirty bomb goes off, or a tactical nuclear warhead, even in the Middle East, that air circulates around the entire northern hemisphere, and also 40% of the fallout happens in the southern hemisphere. So all of you watching from, you know, Argentina or Chile or wherever, you're not safe from it either. It's coming.
And we're not
too.
Being alarmists. We're laying out real facts why the elites are moving in the middle of nowhere. Mike Adams, incredible job. Come back anytime. You name it. I want you on every week or two if you can do it. What's the best place for people to find all the incredible work of the Health Ranger?
Just naturalnews.com. And thanks for having me on. Happy to join you again.
Thank you. All right, fourth hour coming up. Stay with me. Masses of news, straight ahead, special guest, never disappoints, Matt Bracken. Stay with us. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when. Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later,
all right,
gotta cut you down.
Matt Bracken's coming up. I want to get a geopolitics with him. Trump, this whole thing with the Air Force One escapes while leaving journalists on decoy flights. We reported that back at the time in July. And I'm not in the business of just defending Trump to defend him. Anybody that measures what we do and knows, I just call balls and strikes. My computing power couldn't even begin to ever try to, like, what do I want to say that's popular? How do I want to, you know, be on the, you know, I don't even do that. I've always neurotically just said what I think is the best information. I'm usually right. This is a nothing burger, like the ballroom thing. Trump just wants to have a ballroom. Every other government has it. The media made it a big distraction. It's totally stupid. There's plenty to criticize Trump on that matters. They have been moving presidents around for 60, 70 years off Air Force One onto other craft and putting them in, you know, taco trucks and putting them in ambulances and moving them around other jets because of surface air missiles, potential bombs, all the rest of it. The idea that he sent everybody off on Air Force One to be killed and they thought the Iranians were about to shoot it down or whatever. You get on Air Force One, you know you're on a major target. Okay? And so I didn't get to that today because it's the big story and we're supposed to cover that. You know, it's the new reflecting pool thing. And it's just a load of crap. Oh, Trump cuts and runs like a coward. Now, I've told you surface-to-air missiles, and they're going to try to frame the Iranians for shooting down his plane. I said that before they ever started promoting it. So it's a real threat to Air Force One. The Iranians have threatened him, but then they don't have the ability in many points. The globalists, though, because the Iranians have threatened, would be perfect for them to shoot him down and then get full war out of his death. So I'm really concerned about this. But the whole story about Trump cuts and runs, Trump has incredible courage. Nobody's going to deny that. Trump gets out in front of crowds and they block the road and marches into event centers. Y'all criticize Trump all day, but a coward, and the Secret Service tells him we've got a threat, so he listens to them, and that he's a coward, and he cut everybody, you know, loose and hung them out to dry. It's a load of crap for people that don't know how things work. Every major president, particularly the last 50 years, does this all the time. It's come out that they will act like they're getting on, get on another plane. This is what they do. So Trump, yeah, gets on an airport catering truck, goes to another jet. And that's because they're leaving Turkey. They think Iran is going to have missiles they smuggle into the country to shoot it down. And Iran has said they might do that. So that's the problem. Iran has set it up where they're saying they'll do it. They might. And then now that helps Israel or other interests that want to get rid of Trump and supercharge the war. That invites them to do it. And I've been talking about this for 3 years, months before it ever even started getting promoted. I could just see the programming. Just remember, before you ever heard of any of this, I was telling you about it. That's what I do. That's my bread and butter. So just calling balls and strikes here, folks. This is an absolute made up piece of BS. And I notice that whenever I do something defending Trump, the Trump supporters, the hardcore ones, are the ones that are like, you piece of crap. Don't try to get back at our good steads. You're not at the Trump, Ludnig, Epstein table. We don't want you back. I'm not trying to be in your cool table. I report what I believe is accurate, what is true, and what is not. I just keep explaining to you, the left, the white pillars, the black pillars, everybody, I report what I believe is the most accurate. I don't have the brain power to sit there and try to figure out what I want to believe. God, that sounds like mental illness to me. In fact, that is mental illness. People ask how I know so many factoids, how I'm so accurate, because I literally apply everything. You remember when I, like 5 years ago, cops pulled me over, brought me to my house. They go, have you been drinking? And I said, yeah, I was just at a Japanese restaurant. I had a half bottle of sake. And I should have said, by the way, it was like a little quarter bottle. But they said, get out, sobriety test. And I passed it. They still said, well, you admit it, you're going to jail. And I blew away under it, and they had to drop it. But the point was, everybody said, why didn't you lie? It was like a neurotic thing that I just don't lie, folks. I used to, when I was younger, lie some. I basically don't lie now. It's crazy. It's very liberating.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Well, I didn't expect to be back so soon, 24 hours later. As usual, I'm pulling everything out of my third point of contact with not that much time for show prep. But fortunately, I'm a person with many slides already ready to go. And today I'm going to not talk about Iran or Ukraine or the American economy or Trump playing golf with anti-aircraft missiles behind him. or hiding out, you know, jumping between Air Force One and Air Force Two and some other plane, because I've got an actual guest from Ireland on today, and we're going to switch gears a little bit because, as far as I'm concerned, Ireland is like the test case number one for population replacement. There's a lot of reasons for this. You know, it's a small homogenous island. You know, it's one people for the last several centuries, divided roughly, you know, 85-15 Catholic Protestant, but they all consider themselves Irish. Even the Northern Irish Protestants also consider themselves members of the United Kingdom, but Irish. They definitely are not to be confused with Scots or Welshmen. And as a result, Ireland is a very nice little lab petri dish for a complete total population replacement. And they're the people in the Republic of Ireland. If you can stick up that slide number six, it's an actual map of the United Kingdom and Ireland. Because a lot of Americans still, I think, are a little bit confused or vague on what is meant by Ireland. I constantly see references to the IRA in terms of what's going on in Ireland. Now the one that's Ireland, I'll get to that one later, but the one that just shows Ireland and the United Kingdom next to it, I think it's number eight. I'm sorry. Can't read my own writing. But, the problem is that Americans think that the IRA was just some Irish phenomenon. They were running all over the Republic, all over Ireland. So they say, Matt, where's the IRA? Well, in most of Ireland, in the Republic of Ireland, there was no IRA for the last century. You know, there was an IRA in Dublin and Cork in like 1922 when the Irish broke away from Great Britain, but they were not active in the South. This is strictly a phenomenon of Northern Ireland, Ulster. That's the six lost counties. When they had the treaty after gaining independence, those six counties remained with the United Kingdom. So Americans who think, well, the IRA is just going to like rise spontaneously and save Ireland, it has nothing to do with the Republic of Ireland. What all you people that remember at all, what happened from the 70s to the 90s, it happened only in the six counties in the north. In the south, in the other 26 counties, the Irish people have been bred for total docility. For more than a century, they've been bred to be peaceful hotel innkeepers, tour guides, bus drivers of tourists, pub bartenders, but not fighters. They have no fighting spirit. So what's being held up is all the pictures by me. This is all Northern Ireland stuff. Okay. This is Northern Ireland stuff in the main part of Ireland. If you can possibly stick up that number eight, because it's important people understand this. That those people have almost no defense mechanism. It's like they've been bred into being dodo birds. You know, that they've been bred into being, lap dogs, poodles with no defense mechanism. So that, you can see in the green, that's Ireland. Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom. That's the only part of Ireland where people have any kind of a fighting memory. You know, because their grandfathers and their uncles might have been young men fighting during the Troubles in those six counties. That does not relate to the rest of Ireland. And so the rest of Ireland is just ripe for a fall. It's extremely woke. They were heavily brainwashed, during the 2000s and on, what was once called the Celtic miracle, the Celtic tiger was basically the Dublin government saying to international corporations, You want people that are pretty smart, that can speak English and run telecom stations and internet websites and will host any kind of corporation, pharmaceuticals, you name it. Just come to Ireland, very low taxes. So Ireland just laid itself open to the world. Just come on, bring money, invest. But the Irish people now are almost like strangers in their own land. They live in Ireland, but they have no control. Their politicians, the political class, are completely beholden to you know, the European Union in Brussels and to these and to the corporations that they sold out to. So the Irish people are just being sent right down the river. Now, I don't know if my my friend Peter Connolly, is he up on the in another Zoom room? Because I'm going to talk to a guy. It's evening in Ireland right now. So are you there, Peter?
Good evening or good afternoon.
We have Peter Connolly. Hey, good. Can you turn it up? I can barely hear you.
How's that now?
That's pretty good. So we were talking before the show, we were talking, and one of the subjects that I saw just absolutely flood the Twitter zone in the last few days is the rise of the new IRA, which we were discussing is a totally bogus. It's a psyop. It's a false flag. It's a, you know, a honeypot thing by the government, but it's not legit. So yeah, the pictures that of the bonfire and all of that, it's not what's going on in Ireland right now. Okay. It's like, it's, you know, unfortunately, there is no real resistance spirit like that yet. But go ahead, Peter. I wish the bonfire stuff is not what's happening in Ireland. Go ahead, Peter. I
mean, the bonfires is typically associated, you know, with the 12th of, not that I get my dates wrong, but the 12th of July and amongst the large amount of the community, if you want to call it, like in terms of the Protestants, associated with Northern Ireland. And look, that's their thing, you know, that's what they do. And, I suppose what we've seen in recent times, I suppose first coming onto the kind of the news probably about a year ago was, an incident that took place in a town called Ballymena in Northern Ireland, where there was, a news story running about a number of young girls that had been sexually assaulted and that kind of thing. And I think watching from the south, the community spirit in both with Catholics and Protestants has always, but I would actually say more so with Protestants, has always been very strong throughout the years. It always has been apparent in terms of much more of a kind of a community spirit
in the north. I mean, in Ulster, in the north
of Ireland. And so, I mean, what we witnessed again, you know, was we saw a huge protest take place in the town of Ballymena. And people may recall there was a number of days of kind of whatever term you want to use in terms of civil unrest for a number of days that took place after that. And I suppose this has one of the avenues in terms of, you know, we mentioned that earlier on today about the 200 men coming across on a boat to the UK. But what is happening is that they will make their way through the UK and they will be able to make their way, obviously, because it's part of the United Kingdom, into Northern Ireland. And then because of the no border situation that exists between Northern Ireland and the Republic. And that this was all part of what was discussed going back a number of years, I think whatever it is it 92 or 98 in terms of the Good Friday Agreement? But there is no hard border between the north and the south of Ireland. So for somebody to make their way
there's
across,
no check at all. You just drive. You just get in a cab or a bus and drive.
Yeah. And I mean, even on the opposite side to this as well is that this kind of freedom of movement in a certain way or lack of checks and that kind of thing is that, you know, in a criminal situation, it's very easy also for somebody within the Republic to make their way into Northern Ireland, part of the UK, and then, you know, to wherever in the world. But there's always been, I think, a good community spirit that within the communities in Northern Ireland. And obviously we've seen this as to how this has developed since what we had with Ballymena last year. I suppose, you know,
but
just
that's
in the
because
last...
the memory of the troubles is still fresh in the North, because it's in living memory at a family reunion, a gathering, a picnic. There are older men there that remember the troubles, but not in the Republic of Ireland. Nobody in the Republic of Ireland has the experience.
I can't speak of that in terms of the younger generation. And as we've discussed before, like anybody realistically less than the age of 45 on this island, whether you're in Northern Ireland or in Southern in the Republic, does not have a memory per se of firsthand experience of the troubles in Northern Ireland. If you are in some sort of ways, that is something that has been passed on to you with stories and that kind of thing from the older generations. So this is the confusion I would see at the moment. And it's up for question as to kind of where exactly is this coming from? That the reemergence of such an organization and branding themselves or calling themselves the new IRA. Now, just.
Yeah, I have a slide of that. I have a slide of that. I think it's number 7. And it's just so inorganic. It's so fake.
Yeah. The last 10 days to 2 weeks as well, we also had a security operation that took place here in the Republic where I mentioned it. There was a news article in relation to a young woman being intercepted trying to drive a viable device from what we gather in the direction of somewhere, you know, maybe Belfast or something like that into the north of Ireland. So. You know,
that's the Isabella Sullivan case. So,
yeah.
Isabella Sullivan is caught with the makings of a car bomb, and is arrested and then released. So it just doesn't seem like it doesn't smell right to me. It sounds like they're trying to raise a hysteria.
You know, there is that kind of thing in terms of what we would refer to as kind of, you know, agitation, propaganda to try and agitate a situation. And, you know, with what I've mentioned in that happened last year in Ballymena, and just coming back to this point in terms of both sides of the community being faced with the kind of the fallout from what is taking place with both, I would argue, the point of both legal and illegal immigration in terms of people coming onto this island, with it could be argued the point of, you know, varying ways of looking at life. And so, you know, this, I suppose in some ways, I don't know, you could say that, you know, maybe to some extent has united communities, but more so it's that both communities are facing the same, you know, when you say both
communities, you're speaking about Northern Ireland Protestants and Catholics. So in that context, the last thing that would be organic would be for a new group to rise across Ireland, calling itself the new IRA, because this would be immediately like a red flag to a bull. This would immediately alienate all of the Protestants in Ireland, especially in Northern Ireland, because the IRA, Irish Republican Army, was dedicated to the unification of the entire Ireland, of the entire island of Ireland, you know, under one tricolor flag. And to call yourself the new IRA is automatically to split what was beginning to be a unified front against the mass migration.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just sometime there last week, earlier on in the week, maybe the Monday even, where one of the first news articles that I was looking at of that day was the, if you remember from days of old, the Republican leader in Gerry Adams was making this news conference. Now, one of the things that caught my attention with what he was talking about was that he was, so in the United Kingdom, they have a new prime minister, Andy Burnham, and Gerry Adams was making reference to the fact that one of the new UK prime minister's order of business would be that to look at the eventual action to separate Northern Ireland from the United Kingdom. I mean, that's an absolute red rag to a bull. Like, and I'm looking at this and I have two questions in my mind. You know, first of all, this is a character, you know, a political character from many years back. And I'm kind of saying, well, where did you come from? And secondly, how preposterous an idea that you would suggest this. But, you know, more and more, and we've seen the, you know, we've seen.
Yeah, I consider it a discrediting operation. You know, this might seem afield, but it reminds me of when Lindsey Graham, who recently died, he sabotaged the Republicans in a midterm a couple of election cycles ago by just before the election. This is when the whole Roe v. Wade abortion thing was in front of the Supreme Court, very contentious issue. And he suddenly was promoting a super strict abortion law. And the only reason to do this would be to scupper the Republican midterms. Yeah, he was a guy who's an operative who a big neocon war hawk, but he would do things to sabotage the Republicans. So Jerry Adams being brought out of the crypt, you know, out of the old folks home to talk about reunification. And then all of a sudden across all mainstream media in the UK is the rise of the new IRA, which if I was going to make an American comparison, if somebody without any, you know, there's no meetings, no rallies, suddenly if all of our media were talking about the rise of the new KKK and how they're like the new face of the anti-migration, anti-immigration in America, and then show pictures of burning crosses and people in white hoods and say, this is the new anti-immigration movement, the new KKK. Nobody in America would believe it. It would be even, you know, more laughable than the Patriot Front in terms of an operation. But in Ireland, to have a new group called the new IRA is only designed to discredit. It's called a discrediting operation. It's a variety of a false flag, a discrediting operation. So you tie anybody who wants to stop unlimited immigration into Ireland to terrorists. And, you know, you happen to find this 25-year-old lady with the makings of a car bomb. You know, ooh, alarm bells go off. Of course, she's released. It was what they call a controlled delivery, I think. You know, it's like when the FBI stops a terror plot that they completely created, you know, so that they can take credit for stopping one. So I think this is what's going on in Ireland right now. And in a way, I guess it's a good sign because it shows that the government's very worried about this. That the possibility of Protestants and Catholics joining around stopping this uncontrolled immigration, I mean, maybe that's a good sign, because you know the way that it's going, you were saying in the last year they've granted 500,000 new passports. This is in an island with what, like four and a half actual Irish, and another million plus.
5.2 million, and just one of the stats there today was about the issuing. Now, you to look at the wording of this carefully, but the issuing of 500,000 passports. So, you know, as to whether that's new passport, older, basically people born into the country, getting a passport for traveling like as an infant, people who've got citizenship, getting a passport, people renewing a passport. But if you look at it, I mean, to make a comparison with what happened earlier on in Spain this year was with the kind of like a free gratis of issuing 500,000 passports to, from what I gather, illegal immigrants that had come into the country. So we can't, it's difficult to differentiate, but like, as you said, if you look at it, it's 500,000 would be something in the order of that. You know, 15% of the country may perhaps woke up this morning and decided, hey, you know, I need my passport. Looks to be getting a bit old.
But how many of the Irish, of the people on your island now, how many were actually born in Ireland and how many were born off the island?
Well, I mean, the current figure from what we're looking at with the Central Statistics Office is something of the order of 5.2 million. But if you look at, just to put it in a bit of a perspective, there's that other stat that we were talking about. Since 2011, the birth rate has gone from 2.2 down to 1.5, and they're expecting this to go down to 1.3. Now, if you go back, say, maybe 20 years or so, whether we had a population of somewhere around 3.5, 3.8 million. But what I'm getting at is based on that birth rate, it's not, we can't say that as a as an ethnic group or whatever way that you want to look at it, that we are exponentially kind of reproducing ourselves. We're below that replacement rate at this stage in terms of what, you know, it's classically spoken about, maybe with 2.2 children. So if we're saying 5.2 million, is it a case that it's still roughly 3.8 million are actual indigenous people between emigration?
And if their birth rates are exponentially higher than these, the quote unquote new Irish. So if they're going to show up and have five or six kids in a generation, the Irish will be gone, or just, you know, a minority on in Ireland. Can you put up, it's a slide number 13. It's a, like a cartoon. It's the cycle of housing. It's almost designed to crush family formation. It's so hard for a young couple to get married when you can't afford to live outside of your parents' house where you're crammed into an apartment more than likely. So they bring in the immigrants, and the immigrants get first everything. They get free housing, free cash cards. Everything is free for them. First chance at every job. And it's illegal and legal. They have their equivalent of like the H-1B, which is a total scam. You have in every little Irish town now, you have vape shops, Turkish barbers, all of these, you know, money laundering operations. But somehow they need new employees, and they can only get the right kind of employee from back in Pakistan or India, you know, or somewhere in Africa. This drives the housing price up because the migrants, their housing cost is subsidized. They don't have to pay. And this puts the Irish out of the housing market. All right, we're going to come back and continue this discussion on the other side, but I find it interesting because the Irish, you just wonder at what point are they going to stand up and fight back? We saw a little bit of it in Northern Ireland a couple months ago, that Ballymena, but it's so rare to see it, even with all, you know, crimes happening like crazy. We'll see you in a minute.
It's 2 a.m.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks, you've seen the deplatforming, you've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at firstunitedpayments.com and talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down, and First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit firstunitedpayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The Patriots' choice and globalists' dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Okay, if you can put up slide number six for a minute and then slide number five, it kind of puts the finger on the problem here. You know, the Irish never had colonies. People that are going to the UK from Pakistan or from former colonies of England, they can say, it's payback. You know, I'm moving from Jamaica. I'm moving from India back. But Ireland never had any colonies. If you can leave that one up of India. India is so much bigger than Ireland, and its population is unbelievably greater. It's so unsettling now to be in traveling around Ireland and going to parks, downtown areas, and seeing just mobs of obvious third world people. And I'm not saying that they're all like, you know, trashy low rent guys that just got off the rubber boat. A lot of them are. But you see couples with children pushing prams to a person coming from India. Ireland is paradise because Ireland has so much more land space per person. To somebody coming from India, Ireland is like a park. It's like a park with almost no people. And if you just brought 1% of India to Ireland, and there are entire pipelines set up now to just bring in more, you know, chain migration. If you brought in 1% of India, Ireland becomes Indian, and it will still look better than India. So there'll be another 1%. You could have 30 million Indians in Ireland, you know, in a generation, and it'll still be better than India. So this whole like lifeboat strategy of we have to save these poor people, Ireland has to save itself. It's like you're in a 10-man boat and 50 people are trying to climb on board. It just can't be done. If you can throw up number four, that's a like pie chart. And this is exactly what's going on. What's on this chart is exactly what's going on. And not just in Ireland, but in the West in general. They use the term minority. It's just a few guys from Africa. They're a minority. By all means, let's give them preferential housing. Let's give them a living allowance. But they're just going to not stop. Little Ireland is just going to be completely, totally overwhelmed. And it's coming. It's definitely coming. If you can put up number 12, it's the little girl in the classroom. This is the reality that Irish are facing now. being absolutely replaced in their own country. You know, there's your Irish primary school, the little leprechauns. They never voted for this. There was never a referendum to, like, let's go extinct. Let's just wipe ourselves out. And if you can put up number 10, that's the diversity czar of Ireland. Check out who they're paying hundreds of thousands of euros a year to tell the Irish what nasty racists they are. There's your diversity czar. The country is so woke, and the people have no way to control their politicians. The political system in Ireland is so rigged. It's a total joke. It makes our elections look legit. There's no way you're ever going to get a nationalist who cares about Ireland. Irish politicians only care about their next gig working for a multinational corporation for double or triple the pay, or getting a job in Brussels for the EU. They look at Ireland like a stepping stone. This poor little island, they just want to get out of, using it as a stepping stone. And if the Irish people go extinct, who cares? I got mine. I'm sorry for that rant. Peter, are you still there? I'm sure you got some thoughts on it. You're there. You live there.
You were talking before the break about, you know, we were trying to get an idea on the size and scale of numbers. And so just, I think that this is an important point. I just wanted to kind of bring it in. But and as to whether this is a relevant document now, but I refer to the Irish Proclamation, which we still see read out every Easter Sunday, you know, as the 1916 Rising, which took place on the Easter Sunday. And so, you know, this document is still, you know, it's a historical piece, and it's still read out. Now, you know, if you care to look at the wording, it,
like your Declaration of Independence. It's the Irish Declaration of Independence, in a sense.
So, I mean, if you look at this, and just if people want to have a look at this, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just in the third paragraph, and I'm breaking this up a little bit, because just for the time that we have. But it does say this. It says, we declare the right of the people of Ireland to the ownership of Ireland. And then it goes on to say, it says, the long usurpation of that right, it says that it has not extinguished the right. And it's obviously referring to the Irish people. And it then goes on to say that nor can it ever be extinguished except by the destruction of the Irish people. Now, what I take from that is that it was obviously imagined, or it was an understanding, that we as the Irish people are on this island. We are the majority, and whether you want to, you know, look at that between north and south and that kind of thing. But we declare this land to be our land. And so I think what way this will go, and in terms of the actual accuracy of the numbers as to who's in the country and what percentage of it is Irish and what percentage is not, is that that may seem a little bit vague at the moment. But I think that eventually somebody will decide for an actual transparency of that to come to the fore and be able to present, to say to the from an Irish people's point of view, is that, hold on a second, guys. You are no longer a majority here to exert some sort of claim. That's the point, that is the direction that it is heading, to say, no, you are the Irish, you are an ethnic minority on this land, and you no longer have a claim. That's, and, you know, as we may say, there's been no referendums about this. There hasn't been a kind of a national discussion. You know, and even that discussion as well with the people of the six counties of Northern Ireland, in terms of the direction that this country wants to go.
Yeah, I call this this is like the end stage democracy doom loop. If you have a country that's, I'm just, you know, spitballing figures, if it's 45% woke liberals and 45% nationalist conservatives, and the 10 in the middle will blow whichever way the wind goes. But if you bring in another million, you know, or 10 or 15% that are foreign, they're always going to go with the woke globalist liberals. Now they've got a permanent majority. And the nationalists just become, you know, decline and decline until they're inconsequential. But that, you know, that proclamation of 1916 that says Ireland belongs to the Irish, I don't think that you can extinguish that. You know, no matter if they do bring in millions of Indians, Africans, you know, Muslims, there will still be Irish that say, you can't do this. I'm sorry. It's not legitimate. You know, we fought the British and we'll have to fight our own traitors essentially for doing this to us. The Irish never voted for it. And the system is set up so that there can't be any change. In the American context, the only choices you get in Ireland is like a choice between, Fetterman and Lindsey Graham, or Frick and Frack. They're both neocon liberals at heart. Nobody can get to a national stage. The mixed martial art guy. He tried. He threw his hat in the ring for a little bit. It's impossible. What's his name? The fighter.
Conor McGregor.
McGregor. He talked about it. But the system is set up to completely preclude any chance of something. There could never be a Trump in Ireland. You know, a Trump coming from outside and winning in Ireland cannot happen. It's set up so that only cronies from the inbred political class are the only ones that are ever going to be on a ballot. And meanwhile, every year, another 500,000 foreigners come in legally and illegally. You go to the park and you see hijabs and you see the Indian mothers in Indian saris pushing the double pram. And meanwhile, Irish kids can't afford rent. They can't get married. They can't have a house. It's just a tragedy to see this going on.
Yeah. What else was I going to say to you? That you mentioned there just Ireland's czar in relation to racism and to kind of tell us all that how racist we are. And so, I mean, just playing to people's kind of emotions as some form of agitation. That to get people excited about this, that, and you know, something similar like that we've seen for as a kind of a delaying tactic that took place for so long in Sweden, where, you know, if you were to I'm sure there's been a number of kind of census or kind of on that in terms of what is the thing that you fear the most, and the thing that you fear the most despite everything, you know, losing your house, losing your home, losing your family, but God forbid that I would ever be called a racist. And all of this kind of propaganda that's injected in terms of actually delaying or having just an outright honest conversation about, well, hold on a second, what is going on here? What is the direction that we're going?
The brainwashing is so deep.
Yeah. And everything that goes into it, like, you know, look, this was a government minister, I think it was back in 2017, openly and publicly declared that the plan, and I think if we were maybe at that stage around 4.2, 4.5 million, that they were going to double the population or bring the population up to 10 million by such a, you know, within the, say, 15 years, 20 years or something like that. But, you know, the first thing that, you know, if you're kind of being sharp to this was, well, hold on a second. You're interfering here with the demographic. And if there are, you know, in terms of, we start bringing that in as part of the conversation in terms of even for what it's worth, that the UN has criteria on what they refer to as genocide. Now, genocide being kind of altering of numbers of a particular nation's population. And we obviously have the kind of worst case image of that, which is, you know, the blood and gore side of it or something like along the lines of a killing fields. But that can also be just to, you know, mass immigration, et cetera, and that kind of thing to deliberately and actively readjust that particular nation's population and percentages and that kind of thing and make one, which was on one particular moment was the majority, into the minority.
Yeah, I think that the way I look at Ireland in one sense as this, you know, lab experiment, that it's a little controlled environment. It's a small island, homogeneous. It was there. You know, the Irish lived on the island since the last ice age, almost 10,000 years ago. They never colonized anybody. So they have a history of fighting, at least in the 1920s, fighting for independence from Britain, and in the 70s to the 90s, fighting Protestant versus Catholic in the North. So it's not as if there's no, you know, civil disorder in the past. But the lab, one of the purposes of this lab experiment is to say, how far can we push a people? At what point will they rise up and, you know, bring out the pitchforks and the flaming torches? You know, at what percentage of population replacement? So when we see the Irish completely lose their minds and go for the, you know, pitchforks and torches, then we know, okay, slow it down a little bit. And all of the other countries in the West that we're doing this to, you know, this massive Kalergi plan, we're witnessing in operation, this population replacement, third worldization. It's okay. If Ireland, if we can just double their population and they still won't fight, we can do it anywhere. You know, that means forget about the rest of Europe. Forget Australia. They won't fight. You can bring in double their population, call them racists, and they'll cringe in the corner. I mean, it's actually pretty pathetic. You know, I would have hoped to see some more fighting by now, but evidently not.
Just to come back to the point in relation to how we started off when we were talking about the emergence of this, you know, so-called new IRA, and like when you conjure up the images and you conjure up or you think about as well that separation that did exist. I mean, you know, there was kind of, shall we say, you know, if you went back to the 60s and the 70s of the labeling of Irish people as, say, as they traveled for work in the United Kingdom. But that is not something that exists anymore. I mean, we have more, you know, the proximity of, you know, to Northern Ireland, to the UK, you know, I mean, London is like kind of, say, 50 minutes of a flight away. It's all very, very close. But those types of splits or factions, et cetera, that doesn't exist. We have more in common. We have more in common with the people of, you know, Northern Ireland, the UK, Scotland and Wales, et cetera, than, you know, than we ever had. And I mean, you can see that in terms of the trade and the travel and that type of thing as to how it works, you know,
So when you see these, the mobs in Ceuta, Spain, which is actually, you know, across from the Spanish mainland near Gibraltar, opposite Gibraltar, they can be in Spain now. They can be given, bus rides by NGOs. It's not like they're hustling side gigs to make money. If you can put up, it's like slide number three, it shows all the guys on the boat. They are not paying their own way. They are being paid. It's an invasion army. That boat is holding 200 men. There's no military rubber boat like that made on the planet. Okay. That's made in a Chinese factory for mass migration. All they have to do is inflate it on a beach in France and push it into the English Channel, go out a couple miles on a calm day in the summer, and then get on the radio and call a mayday, and an organization called the Royal National Lifeboat Institute, which is sort of like a quasi Coast Guard and civilians. It's hard to explain backup Coast Guard. They go out and quote unquote rescue these men every day, hundreds. The RNLI is now being run by, you know, one of these NGO witches. These, an open border globalist who's gloating about this, that they hate white people. I think they hate European people, and their way of just rubbing it in the face of the, you know, the evil white patriarchy is to just swamp the country with men from the global south. You know, low IQ, coming from savage countries where, you know, macheting people's arms off is like, you know, a hobby, and just plop them into the English countryside. The traitor government puts them up in hotels. This kills tourism because they'll take over a tourist hotel, convert it into a quote-unquote migrant shelter, cater meals to them, you know, in their restaurant, set up a better restaurant than you'd ever eat at. So all these
thousands and thousands of fighting age men, which are spread now across the UK and Ireland. What are they waiting for? You know, I think that eventually they're going to find out that the guns have already been brought in. And as bad as people think it is now in Europe, in the UK and Ireland, imagine when they're running around with AK-47s. You know, remember the Bataclan massacre in Paris like a decade ago? Imagine 10,000 AK-47s being put in their hands. You know, 3 years ago in Ireland, there was a man from Algeria who wasn't happy with the social services he was getting in Ireland. He had written a few letters and, you know, just wasn't happy with the amount of services he was getting. He'd never had a job in 15 years in Ireland, never had a job. So he went to a children's school and started stabbing children and a teacher. And he was just on trial last month. So his anger had built up because his expectations weren't met. You know, what he expected when he got to this promised land of milk and honey wasn't up to expectations. So he went on a knife rampage. Now imagine, give it a few more years, imagine 100,000, 200,000 of these men with AK-47s in their hands. I mean, this is something people have to think about. When you look at that picture of the boat with 200 men on it, that took a lot of coordination. That wasn't easy. Could have been easily stopped. But no, they're brought right into the UK, which means they can be in Ireland next week. So what's easier to smuggle into the, you know, the any country? A 20-foot cargo container goes on the back of these tip-off trucks. It's like, you know, something you see every day. It could be dropping off a 20-foot container at your neighbor's house. You'd think, oh, great, he's going to upgrade the house. You wouldn't think twice of it. 2,000 AK-47s fit in one of those 20-foot boxes. 2,000. And the politicians are all going to say, oh, my God, we had no idea. We just thought hundreds of thousands of you know, mostly Muslim, Afro-Islamic men, fighting-age men, we just thought they were coming here for a better life and then sponging off of the hotels we put them up in, you know, feeding them better than we feed our own people. Front-of-the-line privilege for everything. Well, I'm telling you, at a certain point, the guns are going to come out. And then it's going to be probably too late to do anything about it. I mean, in Britain, like probably a quarter of the police already are Islamic. You see the female police with the hijabs on arresting English people, you know, over tweets. I'm sorry, it's hard for me not to get pretty black-pilled. Ireland is the subject of the book I'm working on. I wish I was quicker writing, but anyway, Peter, we're running out of time, so if you have some final thoughts in the next couple minutes.
In terms of your image with the boat, I mean, it's important to understand in terms of a quick, simple analysis of this in terms of a large group of men, because we're not seeing the story we're being told that they're fleeing war and, you know, what we'd expect to see in terms of women and children. It is typically exclusively, if it's 99%, it's men of a particular age. There are three situations within which we see a large group of men. We will see a large group of men maybe at a visiting football game. We will see a large group of men in a men's prison. And we will also see a large group of men in a military formation. That is a question that has to be asked as to why is it all exclusively just men? You mentioned as well there, just in a kind of a final thought there in relation to the children that were attacked and that court case that just took place recently. But I think it's important to understand with the way that the laws exist in both Ireland and the United Kingdom is that, and I would argue the point, some may argue that it's different, but I would argue the point that there is no right whatsoever to self-preservation. And so we can see the escalation in the crimes, the stabbings, the murders, the rapes, right? You know, not only Ireland, England, the UK and the mainland of Europe, but there is no right to self-defense. And this is, it's demeaning. It's many different things. And it's going, I would argue, it's just going in a bad direction.
Yeah, just on Twitter, and people have made the juxtaposition, like in the same week,
there were rallies in the United Kingdom with hundreds of Muslims waving machetes like a show of force, like, we're here, try to arrest us, we're all swinging swords. And then like a day or two ago, a young British man came out of a sporting goods store with a baseball bat, and he was immediately arrested because the presumption is that he's going to do some harm with it. Maybe he wants to take it home to defend himself, because God forbid you should have a gun in the United Kingdom to defend yourself. I mean, people have defended themselves with a sword and gone to jail because they considered it like, yeah, you were defending yourself, but it was excessive. You should have just let the robber steal from you. You shouldn't have stabbed him with a sword in your own house. Anyway, we're coming right to the end. So thanks, Peter Connolly, for coming on at the last minute like this. And, you know, well, I'll see you again the next time around that I get the call. It helps if I have a little more show prep time, but I think we did all right considering the limited time to prepare. So thank you, Alex Jones. Thank you, the entire AJS staff, for putting us together so quick. And I'll see you again next time around, maybe sooner or later. I don't know. I'll talk to you soon.
Dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
Methylene Blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Come on now, Bandit. We gotta get this truck on the road.
We gonna do what they say can't be done.
Let's get a move on.
We've got a long way to go. And a short time to get there. I'm eastbound and what a bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some devil mind it breaks. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta. And there's beer in Texarkana. We'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down. We gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.